Steve, thanks. Hi, it's us, Bill and Wendy. Thursday edition of the show. It's very rainy. You already know that. We have a great show for you. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200.
I'll take the rain. We may get a little snow, too. But you know what? We have turned the corner. Don't you feel that?
This has been a mild winter. We can't complain, right?
Oh, we can, but who would listen?
No one's going to listen. It's been a bad patch every once in a while. That's going to happen throughout a winter. You know, Chicago, the winter period's like 7-8 months. So you're going to hit a bad week or weekend. But I'll take this.
Big snowblower repair bill in the fall to get ready for this winter.
Right.
Really, right. Hundreds.
Hundreds of dollars, Steve?
And used it twice this year.
That's it.
Wouldn't it have been cheaper to get a new snowblower?
No.
No. And
they're expensive.
Do you have really a lot of land?
Yeah, but I don't use it on the land, just the driveway,
just
Wendy.
Just the driveway.
I know, but do you have a huge driveway?
I do have a long driveway, yeah.
It's a good investment. I wish years ago, like now I'm old, so it doesn't matter, but when I was young, I wish I had bought one.
Now you need one.
Yeah.
You've never heard of heart attack snow?
Yeah, I've heard. Can I? You know how sometimes I say to you, no good deed goes unpunished?
And you say that a lot.
I say it every day, because something happens every day, and I say it, and my family just gives me that look like, don't, bad stuff happens to people, and I know bad stuff happens to people, but I have found in my life anyway that bad stuff happens to me almost every time I do something good for somebody. Can I give you an example?
Yes.
All right.
Did this happen today?
Yeah. The way our building is structured is that we park. Some of us are lucky enough to have a parking spot behind the building, and then you walk, of course, from the car to the building, and then there's like a side room, a back room that you wait for the elevator, and it brings you to whatever floor you want, right?
A side room?
Is this about me taking your space yesterday?
No. Okay. No. All right. So what happens is there's two elevators, and if you miss one, because not all the elevators in the building come down to this side room. Only two of them do. So you're at the mercy of those two elevators. The building has a bunch of them, but only two go to the bottom floor where the parking is. So if you miss that elevator, sometimes you wait there 4 or 5 minutes for another elevator, right? So I come in, and there's me and there's two other people, and we're all waiting for an elevator, and we get in, and then it's time to go up, but I see a guy coming in as we're about to ascend, so I hold my arm out to wait and hold the elevator for him, because I would want somebody to do that for me, so I find myself doing that for people, and I would put that under the bracket of a good deed, right? Mm-hmm. I'm helping that guy out. So I do. I hold it, and he says, thank you, and he gets on. And then as we're about to ascend that time, I see the door open, and a woman is coming in. So I do the same exact thing.
I
hold my arm out.
Just let it go. They can wait for the next one.
And a woman says to me almost essentially what you just said. She goes, some of us have a meeting. Like that.
I agree. You know what this is what, learn this from me, and I am genuinely nice to strangers, not my family. Strangers always right. But when I see people, I make the motion like I'm going to hit the button.
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't do it all the time. I don't do it all the time. But there are times I've done it. But you can't, honestly, Bill, I've done that too. You can't wait because people are coming in so sporadically that you really would be sitting there all day.
But I wasn't going to give it much more time. But in both those cases, it was two people that just seemed like if I had not done that with my arm and we had gone up, I would have felt bad all day going, I just cheated a woman out of an elevator
ride.
Because
that woman coming in, she doesn't know you just did it for the guy.
No, she has no idea.
She sees an elevator full of people staring at her as the door closes in her face.
Right. And I have been on both ends of that. I have been the guy who's walking in and watches a bunch of people pretend that they're going to stop the elevator.
I can wait for the next one. It's really not that big of a deal.
But if you're, like I said, sometimes that wait is 3 or 4 or 5 minutes.
It's never been that long for me.
Oh, I've waited that long.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely done that.
Right? Yeah, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes is standard. So if I see an elevator right there and I go, well, this will take her, I'm doing the math in my head, that'll take her 5 seconds to get from the door to the elevator.
Unless it's me, then it'll take me a half hour.
It would take you a lot longer. But this woman was so mean, and like I expected some support from the other people on the elevator, including the guy who I had just helped out, and everyone looked at me like, oh, the lady's got a meeting. You can't just hold the door for everybody.
Well, as someone who always runs late for everything, if I make it to the elevator, I'm thinking, okay, I'm 2 seconds away from where I need to be, and this clown keeps stopping the door.
I was not wearing my clown outfit.
Okay, so who's the real offender in your story?
I think it's the lit, because can I tell you what I wanted to do? And I think I showed full restraint in not doing it. She goes, some of us have a meeting. And I was going to go, was it about being courteous to people on an elevator?
That's
and
funny.
I didn't.
You should have hit every floor.
Well, right. You know why you didn't?
I got off.
Yes.
Well, because she could have taken me. That's why I didn't.
Yeah, because you don't say that when the doors are closing and you're with the person.
Right.
You say that as you're walking out.
Right. See, I think the real offender in the story is the guy who you helped.
Why him? How come?
Because he should have spoken up and said,
he should have. Well, he did. Like, as I, both the people were extremely gracious when I held my, you know, they were, oh, right. Thank you. So, you know, I got that both times and I wasn't even looking for that. That was just an extra bonus, a nice bonus. But for that lady, and I know she had a meeting. I get that. But maybe the lady coming on at the last second had a more important
then
meeting.
Then she should have left right. earlier.
Right. She should have left a little meeting cushion. That's what she should have done.
Right.
Right.
Right. A little cushion time.
I have the smallest cushion in the world, but I always make it.
Because we wait for you.
No, you have never waited for me, Steve. Although I will never forget when we were getting our promo shots taken for the 80th time.
Yeah.
I was running late. I was stuck in traffic, and I called Stephanie.
Our then-time producer.
Yes. And I said, you know, I'm running late. I'm not going to make it. And did you get on the phone? Or you were telling her what to say, and you're like, I'm sorry, Gorge, but he's got to leave.
Yeah.
He's got to leave.
The photographer has to go. You missed your promo pictures.
You're laughing because I'm like, I got up early. I curled my hair. And you're just giggling. And then all of a sudden, she couldn't keep the joke. And she said, I'm just kidding, Gorge. Bill's making me say this.
Right. I forced her to make you feel bad. I did. But doesn't this fit under the bracket of what I keep saying? And I hate to keep saying this, but
trying,
I was doing
though.
A good deed and I got punished for it.
You weren't punished.
That lady was mean to me and mad at me. And now anytime let's say I see her in the hallways here, she'll be, oh, that's the guy who holds the elevator for people. I'll get that look from her.
Did you recognize her?
I had never seen her before, no. But I drew a sketch of her and put it in my notebook for future reference.
Do you think she was buying the building? Because then you have to let her go.
Right. Right. Maybe she is.
You should still keep trying. And, you know, you did the right thing.
I like to think I did.
For the first guy. I wouldn't have done it for the second
You get
person.
Only one?
I kind of, that's kind
this
of.
This lady looked like she needed to be somewhere. And even if she didn't, haven't you been the one who walks in and watched that elevator car of people? And you know when the doors close, they're all going to laugh at you and go, ah, you missed it by 4 seconds.
Okay, I never think that anybody's laughing at me. And
they are,
I don't
they
really,
are.
Well, that's fine.
They are.
I don't think about it. And I don't, so I wait for the other one. It really doesn't make, because really, if you held that all day long for the stragglers that are coming in, it.
I wouldn't have done all day long, but it was.
Well, when's the cutoff? What if another person came in and you were there for 6 minutes?
Can I tell you something? I was hoping after she did that, some of us have a meeting, I was hoping another guy was going
to
come
just
in.
Just to spite her.
Yeah.
So there's meanness behind your kindness.
I wasn't being mean. I was being a model citizen.
The queen of kindness is on the line, Judy Pilak. Hi, Jude.
Hi. Oh, you guys, I had to call in. Bill, I need to tell you.
Yes.
Kindness matters. Yes. And what
then why don't you try it, Jude?
Oh, no, don't say that. Don't
I
say
am
that.
Always kind in a tough-ass sort of way.
Judy, that lady
You're
was
right.
mean to me. She shouldn't have been mean. No. She should have respected the fact that I was helping others.
And when she said some of us have a meeting, you should have said some of us have a heart.
Oh, that's good.
The two of you on an elevator I do not want to be any part of.
That's good.
Kindness does matter, and you have to keep trying, Bill, just because, you know.
Absolutely.
I would do the same thing tomorrow. I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow.
I'm sorry, I just tuned in. Did I hear Judy Pilak say kindness matters?
Kindness matters from Judy Pilak, yes.
And listen, if you're ever on the elevator and you see that shit next time, make sure you close those doors quickly.
Oh, if you
I'm
see
that
do woman. That.
I remember what she looks like. I'm going to keep an eye open for her if she's ever coming.
See, now all of a sudden this kindness turned the corner, and now it's meanness, you two.
Because
yeah,
she started the meanness. Judy and I are proponents of
Suck
being
it
nice.
Up. She
Retribution
said,
matters.
She said, yep. Some of us have a meeting. You're wounded by that for the whole week?
I don't even know if she had a meeting. She just said it generally. Some of us have a meeting. It could have been anybody. Maybe the lady coming on late had the meeting.
How does she know you didn't have the meeting?
Because she looked at me and went, this guy hasn't
no
had a meeting in a long time.
All right. Well, Judy, thank you. Kindness does matter.
Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. Take care.
So lovely to speak to you.
She's a goodbye girl. She is.
She is.
All right.
We have more calls on this, by the way.
We have calls. We have texts. We have Seasons in the Sun. It's 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Let me quickly catch you up. I hate to admit this, but a phrase, the phrase that has become my motto, my mantra, my thing I say all the time thing, no good deed goes unpunished. I get made fun of for saying that, and I know it sounds negative. Wendy makes fun of me. My family makes fun of me. You can't keep saying no good deed goes unpunished, but every day I try to do something good, and every day I get punished for it. Today, as I come into the building, I hold the elevator for one person. They get on. I hold the elevator for another person. They get on, and a lady on the elevator says these words, "Some of us have a meeting." She was angry at me.
Well, I feel that she's got issues of her own, because it feels like when you're mean to other people, you have something inside you that you're mad about.
That could be right. I don't know her well enough. We just rode a floor on an elevator together. But next time, I'm going to ask her, what's
your deal?
What's your deal, lady in the corner of the elevator, mad at people?
God, I hope you see her later when you're going down, and you can go, "How was the meeting?"
Right. I saw the results of the meeting. Not good. I'll just say that to her.
Donald, how are you?
Pretty good. How are y'all?
I feel like I need to be kind to everyone now.
Sure.
Kindness does matter, sure. According to Judy Pilak. What do you think?
Well, it never hurts. I try to be nice to everybody, especially like I was telling the producer or whoever answered the phone. When I open a door, like if I'm going in a convenience store or something like that,
yeah.
I see somebody coming, I automatically hold the door open for them. And a lot of times, most of the time, I won't get a thank you or anything. They just walk on by like I owed it to them.
What's with that? Why wouldn't somebody just say a quick thank you?
I don't know. I guess it's a hindrance, you know. Maybe they have a meeting.
See, that's when you need to slam the door in their face. I'm sorry.
No, I just say, you're welcome anyway.
Oh, good.
That's all I do.
That's good.
We do need to be more kind to one another. Donald, thank you so much, and keep holding
thank
the door
you.
For people.
Please.
You do that all the time.
I
you
do
are
hold the door
so
for people
well-mannered.
All the time. And for some reason in this building, I don't know what it is about this building, but I was always taught when I went to elevator school that the way elevators work is you let the people who are on the elevator get off, and then the people waiting then get on. That's the procedure. But for some reason in this building, that rules out the window. I don't know why.
Because everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's running late. And
meetings. Meetings are ruining America.
Because I did that just this morning. I was waiting for the elevator. You had already come up and had a fight with a woman.
The shaft is used for the day. Shaft 3 is out of service, thanks to me. Don't use that one. It's the one Bill uses. It's tied up all day.
And I hit the button, and when it opened, I went to get in. I don't know why I think people would be getting out. I get out of the way, but I mean, you know, like I start walking towards it, and I say, oh, there are people, crap.
Right.
But, and I get out of the way and let them exit.
It's the weirdest thing. Almost everywhere else I've ever ridden an elevator, and we're talking dozens and dozens, Wendy. The deal is you're on the elevator, you get off, and then the people get on. But here, that is not a thing. There's no rule like that.
I feel that no one pays attention to their surroundings. That's what bothers me.
Is that what it is?
People just bump into you. Hey, Marge. What's going on, Marge?
Hi. I hear this phrase all the time, no good deed goes unpunished.
Yes.
Well, when my parents would say, no good deed goes unturned.
Oh.
And my sister and I always felt that meant if you did something good for someone, someone would do something good for you.
That's how it should be.
Now, have we been misunderstanding our parents all these years? Or has that changed along with society?
I think your mom and dad were just overly optimistic, is what I think it was.
Things were different when we were younger. I'm sorry, I noticed please and thank you a lot more frequently, and people were friendlier to one another before.
Well, the phrase was, one good deed deserves another, or isn't that how it used
to be? I think so.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know. Then I guess I misunderstood them. They told me a lot of things that I was thinking were good, and now I'm going to have to change my mind.
That's not good.
No.
Thank you, Marge.
Thank you, Marge.
Thanks for the phone call.
Hey, Carolyn agrees with you, Bill, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I just, when is the cutoff? Honestly, what if five more people were coming and you kept holding the door? You have to...
I was playing the law of averages. I've only been in that situation a few times where a straggler comes in the right amount of time. It happened to happen twice in a row today, but I don't think it would have happened much more than that.
Carolyn, you agree with him.
Wholeheartedly, my grandma used to say, it's never wrong to be nice.
Right.
And that kindness that Bill gave that woman today could have been the only one she received all day.
Maybe.
Right, because the fact that she snipped at you, something is going wrong in her life right now. Don't you think, Carolyn?
The lady who said she had the meeting?
Yeah. Because if you're crabby to other people, something is not going right with you. Because, you know, if you come to work in a good mood, things are going pretty well. And you come in a good mood every day.
Yeah. Always whistling.
It's never wrong to be nice.
That's so true. Thank you very much.
I like it, Carolyn. And I think
I'd hold an elevator door for her.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I agree with him as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm always aware of people around me because I work in the healthcare setting. So I'm aware that, you know, people may have deficits and maybe walking slower.
Yeah.
And I would hold the elevator. And if you don't want to keep doing it, step back further.
Right.
And then
it's not your responsibility. That's true.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do.
In the lady's shoes, in the other lady's shoes that had the meeting, she may, anything could have happened. Her dad may have just died and she got the news you know, I
should have asked her that.
Too.
Did your dad just die?
Don't
ask her
that.
All right.
But Joanne, you're right. You don't know what's cooking in someone else's pot.
So I don't ever take it personally if someone's, I try not to take it personally when someone is being upset with me.
Oh, that's stupid.
My daughter
that's stupid.
See, I can't go to sleep if I know someone is mad at
Thanks,
me.
Steve was testing the theory.
I just wanted to see if you were really working that way.
Let me rephrase that. I can't go to sleep thinking someone's mad at me other than Steve Bertrand because
right.
I don't care.
You know Steve's mad at you. Well, Joanne, thank you. That's solid advice.
Very good
thank
advice.
I'm
going to
ask people from now on. Did your dad just, I will ask
no,
people.
No, no, no,
don't
no.
ask them that.
Just kind of leave that internal. Just
right.
go, maybe they're having, you know, maybe they just got in an accident on
oh,
the way here.
Right.
Did your dad just die? Because kindness matters.
Right,
and I,
I'll
I
say
be
that.
Extra kind to you.
And I would like to send flowers to the home where your dad died. All right, we'll take a quick break. We have a big show for you. It's us, it's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's us, it's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. We invite you to call in or text in anytime you want. 312-981-7200 is our phone line and our text line.
Whenever I see a celebrity's name in the news about anything, I automatically go right to the fact that they've died.
Yeah, more times than not, that's what's happened. Not always,
not with
thankfully.
Donald Trump.
Not with Donald Trump.
But
no.
You never know. But you see a name you haven't seen in a while, and that happened. I actually got an email from our union SAG-AFTRA that said former president of SAG... Ken Howard had passed away.
Right. It's very sad.
The White Shadow is no longer with us.
That was it for people who don't know that show. And he did plenty of other things. Ken Howard worked very steadily in television and in films. But when you and I were in high school, he played Coach Reeves in The White Shadow. And I thought it was at the time, and maybe still, one of the most realistic shows about being in high school that I ever saw.
I just
more
could...
than Room 222, if you can imagine that.
Yeah.
Way more than Room 222. And Welcome Back, Kotter together.
See, Welcome Back, Kotter is what I wanted my school to be,
right.
But it really wasn't.
Right.
But The White Shadow, I guess I never thought about it being real, but I thought, wow, I can totally relate to this.
Yeah.
I played basketball. I was so into him. The cute Van Patten was Salami.
Timothy Van Patten. Dick Van Patten's younger brother. Everybody always thought it was his son, but it was his younger brother.
Who got the looks in that family?
The younger one did.
Wow. But I loved that show, and I brought it up off the air, and you watched it, too.
I never missed
really
it.
Really quality, the high school basketball team and what went on in the hallway, and it really was realistic. Thanks for pointing that out.
When they made that show, the pitch on the show, Ken Howard, brought it to Bruce Paltrow is the man's name, who was in charge of programming at the time. And Bruce Paltrow is the father of Gwyneth Paltrow, who's no longer
with
us.
It's all related, isn't it?
Yeah, everybody in show business is related somehow. And they said, because he said, when I went to high school, I was the only white player on an all-black team, and they used to call me the White Shadow. And he said, wow, that's an interesting concept. Draw up an idea for a show. And he did. And then the network said, you know what? We want it to be fun and light. We want it to be like Welcome Back, Kotter. And they said, no, the purpose of this show is to deal with the issues that real kids deal with on a high school basketball team or just going to high school. So they had to convince them. And it wasn't a huge hit, but it was on for 3 years, The White Shadow.
That's pretty good for back
bad.
Then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad.
I thought it was on longer.
No, just 3 years. Do you remember there was one episode, and this, boy, was this a rough show to watch. because they were dealing with the topics that you would deal with in high school, one of them was about underage drinking, and there was this big party, and one of the guys goes, you know, I'm just going to go to the liquor store. He had a fake ID, and I'll buy a bunch of beer and bring it to the party. And then he went in, and there was a holdup in the liquor store, and that character got shot and killed just out of nowhere. And it was, you know how
the kid
now,
with the fake ID?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
One of the
that.
Basketball players on the team.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
And, like, you know how now if somebody's leaving a show, you find out weeks in advance, that guy's going to get killed off on NCIS, so, you know. But back then, they didn't have that. If a guy got killed on a show, it just came out of nowhere. And
but what a way to make your point, too.
Yeah.
You use a fake ID, you're going to get shot.
You get killed. That's it. The network
never
is spoken. But the next day in school, like all my friends were, it was like we knew a guy who got killed, but it was just a character on a TV show.
That's really wild.
I love that show.
I forgot all about that. I wonder if it's on YouTube.
He was married to the daughter of either, I know this sounds terrible, it was either her or her, but I can never remember who was Ann Landers and who was Dear Abby, because they were twin sisters, the Lauderer sisters. But he was married to Margot, one of their daughters. He was the son-in-law of either Ann Landers or Dear Abby.
Really?
I'll never forget the episode with Ella Fitzgerald. Do you remember
she
that?
Was on it? No, I don't
remember
that.
Yeah, you're talking about The White Shadow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she, I don't remember what, if she played herself or something else, but it was, you know, I was a kid, it was the 70s.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll have to check this music out a little bit. She played like an endearing old lady. I don't know if she
cool.
was someone's grandmother or what.
I wonder. No,
did
I
she
don't
play
remember
right
that.
Guard or left?
She no, they didn't let Ella Fitzgerald play ball.
It was a great show,
wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, isn't
I love
it?
That. And I feel like not a lot of people saw it, and I don't know when I watched it. If I think I, it seems like Bill, we watched it on syndication or
oh,
reruns.
Did you? You didn't see the original run?
No,
I don't
didn't
remember. Yeah,
I don't remember it ever being in.
I don't
reruns.
Think it was.
I don't remember it being original. When was it on?
78-ish?
Yeah,
does
when
that
we
sound
were in
right?
high school.
Day of the week or?
I want to say Monday nights for yeah. some reason on CBS.
I don't
I'm
remember.
I'm pretty sure Monday nights.
But yeah, I don't think it went into syndication. And it's funny that we're all pretty much the same age and totally remember that show.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. It was so realistic in the fact that at the same time as that, or maybe a year or two earlier, there was a show on NBC also about a high school basketball coach called Waverly Wonders, where it was Joe Namath as the coach of...
Wearing pantyhose and high heels?
Not in every episode, but every once in a while. And in that, the basketball team only had like four or five players, and they never made a big deal out of it. Like in real life, if you're on a high school basketball team, you got 12 or 14 guys on the team.
Yeah.
But on Waverly Wonders, they just had like four or five people on the team, and they never made a big deal out of it.
It was one of those shows that it was like maybe because none of the actors was known, but no one looked like they were acting.
Right.
You know,
it seemed natural.
It looked like you were really watching this basketball yeah. team and this coach.
Yeah. And you know what they did that was smart that other teams about high schools just can't seem to figure out? Like once a player was a senior, the next season they weren't on the show anymore. They would bring up new kids. And that
see,
was,
I would have flunked so I could play another season if
playing.
I was the actor.
But you know how, like, on Glee, those high school kids, like, once they graduated, they kept them around for a year or two. They just hung around the school and sang songs with the... And that's not realistic. But on White Shadow, if you were a senior on that basketball team, that was it. You were done at the end of the year. You didn't come back. That made sense.
It ran from 1978 to 1981. And you have to work on your little gossip column of who is related to who or who is whose son, because it was Ann Landers.
I couldn't remember
daughter
if
that was married to
her daughter Margot. I couldn't remember if it was Ann Landers.
You got to work on this when you start
Dear
your little
Abby.
Column.
I'm going to have a column soon called
Gossip Boy.
Gossip Boy, right, right. Michael Snead has already asked that I don't do it because she knows she can't compete.
She just doesn't She's, want you to use the term spooling pasta.
I'm going to use spooling pasta a lot in my gossip column.
All right,
she doesn't
so,
own that phrase.
Yes, 1978 to 1981, and I graduated in 81. So. You did too.
Yeah.
Steve,
yeah.
when did you graduate?
81.
All right. So isn't that...
How can you guys keep saying I'm older than you?
No, taller. We say you're taller than
okay.
us. Do you remember... You used to watch St. Elsewhere, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. St. Elsewhere, in the history of television, had more inside jokes. Despite the fact that it was a medical drama, it was loaded with inside jokes. And some of the characters, some of the actors that were on White Shadow... were also on.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a scene once, and I don't remember the character's name, but two of the guys who played ball together in The White Shadow were also on St. Elsewhere. And as they pass each other in the hallway, one of them says to the other, Salami? Because that was his right. character's name. And they just look at each other like, where do I know you from? And then they just go about their business.
Can I tell you how much I love when shows do that?
That's hysterical.
I really love when they do that. I'm looking for Ella Fitzgerald in IMDb.
On White Shadow?
Yeah.
Well, just for one episode, right, Steve? She wasn't a running character.
I think it was just one episode.
God, why does she go on that show? Doesn't that seem like a weird fit?
Maybe she was a huge fan.
She was like a grandma or something. But you know what else is weird? I want to say maybe it was a double episode.
Oh, yeah?
Was
a special two-parter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best.
Well, Ken Howard passed away. Do we know his age?
Yeah, 71.
That's
also,
still too young.
As you pointed out, I mean, went on to be the president of the Screen Actors Guild for a while. Was still working in movies. I still saw him in movies and TV shows
30 Rock.
Recently.
Yeah, he was on.
He was the head of NBC, I think, on 30 Rock for a while. So, yeah, very sad news about him dying at the age of 71 yesterday. We'll take a quick break and then more show coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Me too.
Oh, maybe I won't. It's Bill and Wendy. We were talking about Ken Howard, who we loved on The White Shadow, but he's been in dozens and dozens of television shows and movies. He died yesterday at the age of 71. I didn't know you were such a fan, or Steve. I didn't know either of you were such a fan.
It really is that time. I'll be honest with you, there weren't too many other shows on TV. I mean, there was no competition, really.
Well,
like to now?
Right. Yeah, where there's 1,000 networks.
Yeah.
Right. But it really, from being a high school student at the time, and it was a show about a high school, and most shows like that, even though we watched Welcome Back, Cotter, and shows like that, they didn't seem real. That one seemed real to me.
Who didn't think that Mr. Cotter's classroom was real?
I don't know. It didn't seem that real for some reason. The fact that I was in high school at the time, and I'm 17, and I'm watching a bunch of 30-year-old kids pretend they're in high school, I'd go, that kid wouldn't still be in school.
But who knew that Vinnie Barbarino would go on to
be Robert Shapiro?
Oh, my God. I am obsessed with him being. Yeah. Are you caught up yet on the People
versus
I'm
one episode down. I'm one episode away.
Isn't Travolta fantastic?
Yeah, he is.
I can't take it anymore. It's so good. Is this Ted? Hi, Ted.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing much. We're talking about Ken Howard, who we loved to watch when we were in high school.
Yeah, you was mentioning just a moment ago about people that were in previous shows, and then they go on to other ones, and then there's inside jokes that are going on.
Yeah.
Remember, there's a remake of the movie with Mel Gibson of Maverick.
Sure.
And there was that part in there where Danny Glover, I don't remember exactly how it plays out. I think Danny Glover's coming to rob him or something, and somebody pulls down his handkerchief. Over his face, and they look at each other, and they're like, nah. And then they do a double take and look again, like they can't figure out where to know the guy from.
That's very funny.
From the Lethal Weapon movie.
Yeah.
I love when they do that.
Yeah.
I really do it because it gives us a chuckle.
Right.
Thank you so much, Ted. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks.
That's one of those jokes that you either get it or you don't, and the filmmakers know that that's going to be the case, but they run with it.
And Kevin wants to mention some stuff you were talking about saying elsewhere. I didn't watch it religiously until like the last season.
So good.
Kevin, you were
you were talking about the quirkiness of saying elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I remember an episode, and if you didn't hear it, if you didn't catch it, it was like an announcement in the background, but they were calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, and Dr. Howard.
Little Three Stooges reference in there.
You just have to go, did they just do that?
That's very funny.
Do they have that on DVD anywhere? Because I would like to revisit that.
I think it would have to be on DVD, sure. There was one time, there's an actor named Oliver Clark, who if you saw him, you'd go, oh yeah, that guy. Round face, round glasses, dark hair. Anyway, he played a patient, and his illness was that he thought that everybody he encountered was a character from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. So they were trying to figure out psych-wise what was wrong with him, that he kept seeing people to run the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Well, guest starring on that episode was Betty White, so she comes in to check on him, and he goes, Sue Ann Nivens, if anyone can help me, it's you, Sue Ann. And she's just looking at him like, this guy's crazy. We got to get this guy some help.
That's so funny, right? I was late to the St. Elsewhere party.
Oh, I loved it.
So I would like to rewatch it.
The best inside joke they ever did on that show was that anytime any of the doctors on the show, anytime their parents would come to visit them, and it would only happen maybe once a season or so, those actors and actresses were always played by actors from the old Steve Allen show, every single time.
Who created that show?
Oh, boy.
How do you not know that with your new gossip column debuting?
How do you not know?
I'll look it up. I'll find out.
I feel like I watched that show. Again, I feel maybe in syndication. I don't know.
St. Elsewhere?
But I was not. I did not catch all those jokes.
I didn't either.
I wasn't aware of that.
Almost every week, they would throw in something like that, and I loved that.
You know, it ran from 82 to 88. Creators Joshua Brand, John Falsey.
Yeah.
It's too late. If I have to go through the effort here, it's the tie goes
to the runner. Doesn't the tie go to the runner?
Your lips there. Falsey.
Ed Begley Jr., of course, was that the first time?
He was Ehrlich, Dr. Ehrlich.
Yeah.
No, he was on stuff like he goes back to Mary Hartman, where he was
God,
Steve.
Oh, God, you're right.
That's where we saw Denzel Washington first, wasn't it?
I'd say Elsewhere. Yeah. No, his first thing was Carbon Copy with George Segal.
Oh, I'm just
when
quitting.
Does your like TV gossip column come out? It's come on, you could be the walking
soon.
TV guy.
Just be ready. It's coming.
How about the little blonde kid, the son of the doctor? Was that the first time we saw him?
Yes.
I am so with you, Bertrand. Good
yes.
one.
That was the first time for him.
All right, real quickly, Jay has a comment here. Hi, Jay. How are you?
Hi. Good. The first inside joke I saw was on NCIS. And to set it up, Abby looks at Gibbs and goes, what did Ducky look like when he was younger? You knew him then. And he looked dead-faced and goes, a young Ilya Kuryakin.
Really?
Wow, from what was
from
that?
Man from Uncle.
Yeah.
Wow.
With Robert Vaughn.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Jay. Appreciate
it.
On a much smaller scale, I was watching Victorious, which is a Nick show, and Ariana Grande, whom I have a crush on now since she's been on SNL, she's on that show. This is the creator who also did Drake and Josh and other things. So Ariana Grande, is her character, is talking about, oh, I couldn't have done that because that was the time that there was a conveyor belt and I was eating all these things. And I'm thinking Lucy in my head.
Yeah.
And they said, no, silly. That was an episode of Drake and Josh. And they showed it.
Oh, excellent.
They showed a little clip. And I love when shows intermingle like that. We should do that with the shows on this radio station.
They won't have us. I don't think they'd have us.
We tried.
A quick break. Steve with the news. Then a lot more coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Kind of a rainy, yucky day.
It looks like an oil painting outside, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
You know the gray tones of an oil painting of a city? We're living it. We're looking outside. It looks like an oil painting.
And it's glistening because of the rain, so it looks like oil.
Yeah.
Is it raining oil?
It is raining oil.
Is it raining men? Because that would be my lucky day. Steve, I want to ask you something. I was telling Bill about this. Sometimes you find stuff on Facebook. People post things. Sometimes you believe it. Sometimes you don't. So then you do some investigative work.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Los Angeles Times. Islamic State has reportedly trained 400 fighters to attack Europe in a wave of bloodshed. This is freaky scary to me.
If it's true, what's the source on it?
This is the Los Angeles Times.
Right.
The Islamic State group has trained at least 400 fighters to target Europe in deadly waves of attack, deploying interlocking terrorist cells like the ones that struck Brussels and Paris, with orders to choose the time, place, and method for maximum carnage. This is according to the Associated Press.
Yeah.
So are they being told when to do this, or do they strike when the iron's hot? Do they decide, okay, this looks like a... Doesn't this scare you?
Yeah. Yeah, every part of this scares me.
What's scary about it, Wendy? The number or the fact... Because we knew they were there, right? We knew that
we did.
Were people being trained?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, I guess the fact that there are 400 is what's freaking me.
Well, the idea of... I mean, the other day we had two bombs that went off and a third one that did not go off. And that this was from a smaller group of people. But if there was something that was incredibly well orchestrated where numbers, like you just mentioned, all are doing something simultaneously, that makes for an ugly day.
I know. And I also heard Steve Grzanich reporting, and I'm sure Steve had this in the news, that this hacking they were doing, they were calling it not hijackers, but high hackers. And that would be the way to take us down. Make it so we can't get money out of our banks. Make it so cash stations don't work. Wouldn't that show, you know, hey, they're rich and fat. You know, let's take away their money and then they won't have anything. Stop killing people. Just hack us. When have you, you know, begged for that?
You know, they're both terrible in different ways, right? So,
well, yeah, but
it's better to be alive, certainly, and not be able to access your bank account. I get that, but who knows what happens next or where it ends? I mean, these guys are bent on destruction of some point. So,
I know, and I just the more and more I hear about it, and I guess Steve's right. I guess I did, if I thought about it, realize that there are all these different cells all over the place, but 400 fighters seems like an awful lot of people ready to roll at any particular moment.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah. So what's the next? Does it say what happens next? Like, what? How did they determine who these guys are, where they are, and what their plan is?
This was from an incident in 2014, I think. So they've been onto them for some time.
Oh, they have. Yeah.
And this is part of the administration's effort to sort of out these governments that are behind cyber attacks too.
Steve, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I've heard this alluded to on several shows, especially in the last few days after what happened in Brussels. But they're trying to figure out the hierarchy of ISIS and who the leader and or leaders are. And they can't, I guess, they can't quite figure out what the pyramid is.
Is there somebody at the top, or are they all kind of doing their own thing in their groups?
Exactly.
Coming together in the name of ISIS.
They've identified leadership because they've taken out different leaders along the way in Iraq. But these cells are operating in many ways. You know, they're sort
independently.
Of they're sent out into the world. Yeah. And then to act when they think it is the right time to act.
So I don't know if that makes this easier or harder.
Harder.
It does make it harder, yeah, does it? Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have a central command that can call things down.
Right.
It
becomes more
much
harder
to negotiate
control.
With.
Right.
I know ISIS will not negotiate. I don't expect them to be fair in anything they do.
Right.
But still, it would be nice to have, you know, a small group of individuals you could deal with instead of all these various cells.
Right.
And then what was the report, Steve, about one of the two brothers that were suicide bombers in Belgium? One of the brothers was someone who made the bombs in the Paris attacks. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, Wendy. I guess it was one of the brothers who had fingerprints on the Paris bomb, also involved in the Brussels bomb.
And this is one of the guys who they believe perished the other day,
and
right?
And they're not sure of the second one.
Okay. All right.
And do we still have they found the third person?
No.
Still not.
So they've identified the third one and are searching, but they have not identified the fourth one.
All these, you know, brothers, I guess you keep it in the family. You talk your younger brother into doing it. The Boston Terror brothers, you know, the suspects.
Tsarnaev brothers.
Not even suspects.
Yeah.
I mean, God, keep it in the family. Isn't one out of two brothers going to say...
Well, there's this thread that they always talk about, how they prey on the disenfranchised, that one of the keys to this is to find people who are just not in accord with everything that's going on, people who are disenfranchised with the way their surroundings are. And I guess that makes for an easier target, I would imagine. I don't know enough about it. But, yeah, there's something to your theory about the brothers, I guess. Yeah.
We have a guest we're going to talk to, and I don't know if it's today. That's what I was trying to find out. There is a little presentation that was put on in one of the northern suburbs on Islamophobia.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, when you're sitting here thinking about this, you can't comprehend what ISIS is doing. And, you know, people are turning against Muslims, but not all Muslims are in favor of this.
Well, Trump's thing this has been Trump's calling card all along, and now Ted Cruz seems to be taking that same exact route. So there was a lot of criticism yesterday about just that, you know, lumping everybody together.
Yeah, what did Ted Cruz say about, you know, policing the Muslim neighborhoods or something? And Barack Obama took offense to that.
And one of the police captains in New York was very outspoken about that yesterday, too, talking about how I'm trying to remember exactly how he worded it. Ted Cruz, was it Barack Obama or was it the police captain? I'm trying to remember. I watched them back to back yesterday, saying Ted Cruz's own father came from a land to escape that sort of thing, and now that's the platform by which he's running on. I don't know.
Yeah, but there, as you know, we've been learning, and again, this guest that Ro had on, and just go check out the podcast at WGNradio.com. She was an expert on terrorists, and she was talking to some of the people that actually escaped from ISIS.
Yeah.
They're not all Muslim people that are in ISIS.
Right.
And so we're going to talk later on in the second half of our show about Islamophobia. Do we have it? What can we do about it? And that should be interesting. Also, Marcella Raymond from WGN TV News.
She's had a week. She had an interesting occurrence the other day, so she'll tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, we started the show where you were, you know, being kind to someone, And then it turns around, people are being unkind to Marcella Raymond, one person.
We can't have that.
No,
you can't be mean to Marcella Raymond. We'll explain that later on in the show. All right, stick around. More show coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Sorry to hear about your house not smelling good.
That's all right.
I didn't know that was coming.
Oh, there's something else to read. What are you talking about?
Read something else.
I don't have anything.
Read anything.
I don't have it. You keep telling me I do not have it here.
You don't want to read anything else?
I don't have anything.
All right. If something occurs to you while I'm telling the story, just break in, okay? I don't want to leave out a sponsor.
It's just in.
What do you have?
Nothing.
Nothing? All right. All right. Wendy, I would like to present a segment called How Not to Behave in a Restaurant. Is that all right?
Are you implying that I don't know how to act in a
restaurant? No, you do, and I think everyone on the show has great skills in a restaurant, but I want to tell you about a man in Los Angeles who did not behave properly in a restaurant.
What'd he do?
I'll explain. This is awful. This would make for a very unpleasant dining experience. Customers in a Los Angeles sushi restaurant had a more exciting evening than they likely expected when their meal was interrupted by a 13-foot-long Burmese python.
Wouldn't you think that that was pre-sushi? I mean, it's shaped like sushi.
Like sushi, yeah.
That would freak me out in a sushi restaurant.
Hiroshi Motohashi.
Bless you.
Had paid for his $200 meal at Sushi of Tokyo. That's a Los Angeles restaurant. This happened on Sunday, when he allegedly showed off a small snake that he had with him to other diners. We've all done that. You're in a restaurant, you see a guy walking around showing everybody his snake. That's happened.
Is that code?
No. The 46-year-old was told to take the snake outside. Harsh, by the way. And he did. He quickly returned with a much larger reptile, this according to NBC Los Angeles.
It's a magic trick. See, he's just trying to entertain the diners.
Right. Now you see a small snake, now you see a large snake.
Wait till I come back the third time.
Blank you guys, he allegedly said. But he didn't say blank. I was pretending I
was
on Match
Game.
That's
worse than bringing a snake in. Swearing at all
swearing?
The patrons. Gives you indigestion.
Yes, it does. It's very upsetting. He then dropped the snake on the floor in the middle of the restaurant, and he left. This according to Lieutenant Jim Gavin. That set off chaos in the sushi place. Get this thing out. You know, everyone's like eating. Customers are yelling, get this thing out. Are you crazy? This according to a waitress named Jessie Dvorich.
Is she a millennial?
Yeah.
You
could tell
sure
by the way.
Made it look that
by
way.
By the way she spoke, Jessie's, I'm going to say
like,
20,
get 21. This thing out of here.
CBS reported that at some point before throwing the snake in the restaurant, Motohashi stopped into the parking lot to show the reptile off to a group of kids. He's very proud of his snakes, this guy. The Times said that once inside the restaurant, the snake then crawled behind the cash register and got stuck, but eventually was taken by animal control officers.
You know, the snake was probably super scared.
Well, yeah, I would. Yeah, how could
so
it not
So it's not
be?
Like it's going to attack anyone.
He was afraid because he didn't want to eat sushi because it never fills you up. It's good for a minute and then it just never fills you up. Motohashi was arrested on suspicion of making criminal threats, and I would add, and bringing a giant snake into a restaurant
and bringing it to fruition.
Right. He didn't just make threats; he followed through. The threats. I'd let him slide on the threats. I'd go, Motohashi. The threats were upsetting to us, but it was the giant 13-foot snake that really made us angry. The restaurant said that this was a first for them, but I think most of us probably would have guessed that part.
Yes.
He was the only customer who brought in a giant snake, said waitress Sissy Deshtort in an unnecessary statement. Like, would you say to her, if you were reporting on the story, would you say to the waitress, did many of the other customers also have giant snakes, Sissy Deshtort?
She's got a great name.
That was the only customer who brought in a giant snake that particular evening.
Why would you bring that in? I don't even like when people bring their dogs into a restaurant.
Yeah, it's awkward, isn't it? There was a kid in our school, Stuart Higgins was his name, and Stuart Higgins had a giant snake. I don't know the variety. I don't know what kind of snake is what, but he would bring it to school events. Like if there was a talent show or a football game or whatever, you'd see Stuart Higgins, and he had this giant snake that would just be on his shoulders all the time.
And he participated in the talent show with that?
You would think he could get in easily.
To
he
do
could
what?
Just say,
does it do tricks? Watch it eat a mouse.
Well, I don't know if snakes do any do snakes do tricks?
No, can't train a snake.
I think his talent would have been if he chose just to have a snake with him at all times, but he didn't want any part of that. He just
hung out with it?
Yeah, like if you'd see him at something, there'd be like a book sale, and people would go, there's Stuart Higgins and his snake. He always had a snake with him.
Poor thing. Did he have any friends?
The snake?
No, Stuart
Higgins? I think the snake was his friend. I mean, I don't know that much about him, but anytime you'd see Stuart, except in school, like he was smart enough to not bring it to school much, but if there was any extracurricular activities, if you saw one, you always saw the other.
I have to tell you, my brother had a snake, just a little garter snake, and it was in kind of a enclosed pen in the backyard.
Yeah.
My grandfather made a lot of things. He made a rabbit hutch for Nosy, rabbit, and we had box turtles, and my brother had a snake. But if I had a big snake like Stuart had, I would have brought it around too. It as an accessory.
He did. He often did. But it made those of us who were not fans of giant snakes uncomfortable.
Back with more of the Tom Hartman Show. Right.
We'll continue with more Tom Hartman next.
I need to bring a snake in this studio to destroy everything. It's my fault.
She's two timing us with the Tom Hartman Show.
I know. I don't even know who he is.
Related. He's a snake.
David.
He is a snake, isn't he, Kevin? His whole show, like we're just doing a segment on snakes. You listen to the Tom Hartman Show, that's wall-to-wall snakes, start to finish. That's all they talk about is snakes.
Stuart Higgins has made me want to get a snake now. I'm not even kidding. We had a snake up in the studio. Snakes.
They're evil.
I like snakes too, Wendy.
And they're not slimy. Nope. They're really soft and
cool. I'm with you, Bill.
Ugh. Why would anyone? Take it from Kim and me. You don't want a snake, Wendy.
I will call you and Kim anytime I have life decisions.
They're
the
embodiment of evil. Their eyes are beet red. They've got giant fangs.
Oh, that's how they smell things.
They make rattly noises, or they don't, which is even scarier because then you don't know they're coming.
You put a bell on it like a cat.
Snakes don't want a bell on them.
Sure, you get a little snake Velcro collar and put a little bell on it.
Snake bell.
Yeah.
They don't sell snake bells.
You know,
don't get it. Please
Violetta
don't get a snake.
Violetta can have a fish.
They have built-in ones with a rattle, right?
Right, right. Nature provided them with a bell.
That is a good shower gift. Baby rattlesnake.
Maybe.
Violetta has little Canarble, the little fish up there. Yeah, Why don't we get a snake?
We need a show pet for sure. Yeah.
A fish doesn't scare anybody. Snakes,
the
all
fish
of a sudden.
Fish doesn't do anything. That is the dumbest pet ever.
All snakes do is plot how they're going to kill you.
That's at least
all they do.
They think.
All right. A point to the snake. At least they do. But all their thoughts are evil. They want you dead. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then there's more show. Kim's got the news coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys' tea.
May I say something about this theme song?
Please do.
We've been playing this for many, many a month, thanks to Jason Skaggs. And I think just last week, somebody, like five people text, is there hard porn as a lyric?
There is a lyric like that. But all of a sudden, after playing it for nearly a year, people realized. And Dean, you haven't regularly reviewed hard porn during the segment, have you?
Not publicly, no.
No, nope. Privately, Dean will do that for you.
Right.
The symbols you text me are pretty exciting.
The other thing is that I think, first of all, I think we've played this for more than a year.
Over a year, yeah.
But also, don't we almost always make a joke about the porn?
Yes,
part?
Many times.
At the end, I mean, we kind of underline it every week.
That's true.
So, and honestly, this was like last week, somebody, like
several
four people texted.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know what people are going to latch on to.
I latch on to the porn.
Yeah, Wendy does. It's weird.
Naturally, that's why it was put in the song.
Dean, earlier in the show, Wendy and Steve Bertrand and I all realized at the same time our mutual admiration for the late Ken Howard, the head of the Screen Actors Guild, but most notably for his work on The White Shadow and a bunch of other TV shows and movies. That came out of nowhere that he died. Did you know he was sick or anything?
No, I did not. The death was pretty sudden. Only 71 years old.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I saw him at the Screen Actors Guild Awards this past January.
I'm positive he was there.
It was. Yeah. So I think this was pretty sudden. And it's, you know, just a reminder of what an amazing actor he is. And we remember him best from White Shadow, but he was a stage actor. He played Thomas Jefferson in 1776.
Yep.
I can't even go over the number of movie roles, to other television roles. He was a kind of semi-regular on 30 Rock, Arliss. Go down the list of, you know, regular or semi-regular roles that he was in. George Clooney talked about his friendship with Ken Howard, saying that they first met back in 1983 when, you know, they were both young actors, and Clooney had to get from one end of Los Angeles to the other for an audition and had no way to make that happen. And, you know, if anyone has ever driven the streets of Los Angeles, you know that that's no small feat.
Sure.
Ken Howard got in his car, had no reason to do it except that he was a nice guy, and drove Clooney to his audition on the other end of town to make sure that he got to his audition, you know, just kind of symbolizing what kind of person that he is. They stayed friends through the years. You know, Clooney went on to, you know, superstardom,
yeah.
And remained friends with Ken Howard. They starred together in that amazing drama, Michael Clayton,
yep.
from a few years back. But yeah, that's a sad loss. That's a sad loss. I got to tell you, I am tired of doing obituaries.
Right.
This year.
It is happening way
too. Piling up.
Yeah, and 71, I know, I'm sorry, I'm getting older year by year, but 71 is not old.
No.
Yeah, not at all. And also yesterday, we lost really one of the legendary performers in hip-hop music, Fife. His real name was Malik Taylor, but he went by Fife Dog in the Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not into hip hop music, I will bet you anything that you know their songs, even if you don't know their Tribe by Quest. I'll bet anything they're the songs have become classic. The songs are regarded as taking hip hop to a new level, incorporating elements of jazz and R&B and other fairly sophisticated music forms into hip hop, making it all the more complex. And people like Kendrick Lamar today, and people like Justin Timberlake, Snoop Dogg, Pharrell Williams. The list just goes on and on of people on social media expressing their condolences, but also their respect and acknowledging that they probably would not even be involved in music today if it wasn't for the Tribe Called Quest and Fife in particular. You know, it's a real loss. And just he was only 45 years old.
Wow! Wow!
What was his cause of death?
Lived with complications of diabetes.
Yeah,
he had a liver transplant. I think it was in 2008. But had always he had been very vocal about having diabetes, diabetes awareness, and so forth. But his death came early as a result of that. So add this on, you know, here we are, what is it, March 20, whatever it is, mm-hmm. 4th or 5th,
mm-hmm.
or something, and this unbelievable year, unprecedented deaths, particularly in music this year.
I don't remember a streak like this where every day there's one or two more prominent people that have passed away. It's got to stop.
Well, everybody's getting older. I mean, these yeah. are people that have been around for quite some time that we've idolized and looked up to, and now, you know, as we get older, so do they, and they're passing away. Nah. And I am just totally depressed now.
It's
Dean,
not
thanks.
Good, Dean.
I like how Bill, you know, is putting this like it's a campaign platform. These celebrity deaths must stop.
They have to. We have to find a cure for this.
I'm going to build a wall around these celebrities. I'm going to build a wall around these celebrities.
I don't want to lose anymore.
Around
Dean.
Their vaults.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit.
We have to find a cure for death, Dean, and soon. We can't put this off anymore.
You like money,
we
Bill.
Cannot.
If you find the cure for death, you will be a rich man.
I'm not doing it for the money. I'm just doing it for the, you know, for the sport of it all. I don't want people to die anymore. All right, let's do this. Well, go on, Dean.
I was just going to say somewhere a mortician is writing a hate letter to you. Right,
right, right. You're going to put me out of business.
And do we know how Ken Howard died? And I don't know why I'm the person who wants to know how everybody died, but 71 is too young, and there seems to be some speculation.
It's everywhere I read, it said no cause of death has been given, everywhere I
read. Well, there were reports earlier that Mr. Howard was gravely ill, according to a spokeswoman for the union, Pamela Greenwalt. She recently denied reports that Mr. Howard was gravely ill, declined to disclose the cause of death or the city where he died. So that's weird.
That's secretive.
I must have looked at about 20, 25 different sources trying to find the answer to that exact question and didn't find it. Hmm. Sometimes people just don't want to, it's their private life. Sometimes they just don't want to reveal it.
Dean, when I die, I want this to be put in my obituary. Cause of death, he stopped breathing.
You think people are going to be... Oh, my God.
I wanted to say that so people go, well, the guy stopped breathing and then he died. That's how it happened.
I'm going to make a note of that. I hope I don't... my penmanship is terrible, and I hope I don't misread my sloppy handwriting as he stopped wheezing.
No, breathing. I wanted to say breathing. Yeah. That's
I'll
better.
I'll try to remember.
All right, please do.
Your poor wife,
I'm
Bill.
I'm presuming that you're going to die before I am.
Oh, well, who knows?
Never assume anything. It makes an ass out of you and me and kills one of you.
Let's have a contest, Dean, to see which of us can last longer. Ready? Go.
This is fun. This could be like Count the Jelly Beans.
Right. Ready, go. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then if Dean and I are still alive...
Wait, we're going to hold on. Now
yeah,
we have to...
You got
to
wait? All right.
It's like a bad DJ stunt.
Let's
we're not
see.
Going off the air till one of you dies.
That's right.
Yeah, man, I'm going to keep my hand on the 67 Impala. I've been out here for 3 weeks with my hand on this Firebird.
Phil, you got to get on a billboard, because it would indeed be a billboard.
I'll do it. I'm not afraid. All right, more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, along with Dean Richards of the Channel 9 Morning News. And he does a great job here on WGN Radio as well on the weekends. Dean, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, highly, highly touted and sought after. People can't wait to see this movie. Is it worth it?
Overall, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
I ultimately wound up liking the movie when I got done with all... 2.5 hours worth of it. It's long. It drags. The first hour and 15 minutes, there is a lot of setup, a lot of unnecessary, slowly paced setup, establishing, who everybody is and, trying to explain why Superman and Batman are at each other, don't like each other.
But we don't know why they're at each other, so we need to see
why.
That setup.
Batman loaned Superman $20, and Superman did not give him the money back, and they're mad at each other.
Yeah. Always about money.
When I went in, I thought that they had opened a dry cleaning business together. And, you can't go into business with friends. Everybody knows.
No, that proves it.
Nothing but trouble.
How do you dry clean tights?
That's why they opened a special store just for superheroes. a special dry cleaners. Iron Man used to go there.
Sure.
That's where he got his name, because he used to iron for them.
Yep.
That's
the
right.
Back room.
That's exactly correct.
I don't do Iron Man.
Used to be called Steam Iron Man, but after a while.
So the setup, you need the setup, though, right?
There is establishing why the two mindsets you've seen in the trailer. So I don't think I'm blowing too much. There's a Senate committee that's debating whether Superman really is a friend of Earth. Or, since he is an alien from another planet.
Yeah.
You forget that.
does there need to be, a wall built around him?
Oh, no.
There are some, kind of subtle elements of the current political campaign of, paranoia and extremism and, things like that are ringing true in the day's news. But, Lex Luthor is played by Jesse Eisenberg in this movie. A really interesting choice, because he's kind of, Woody Allen-like in his demeanor in this. And at first I was very skeptical about this choice. And I have to say that Jesse Eisenberg really won me over as a really creepy bad guy in this movie.
Oh, good.
But really, my problem with this was the setup is painstakingly long. When you go to see this movie... Just be patient, because it does pay off. Once the big battles start, they are action-filled, and they, the director of this movie, Zack Snyder, is known for his kind of overload. That's part of the strength of this movie, and part of the problem with the movie is the excess in the movie. But once it gets started, once you clearly understand, what's going on, and they kind of... sift off the parts of the movie that you don't really need, and the battles really begin. It's pretty spectacular. So just be patient with it, and I think you'll be fine with Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Michael Phillips in the Tribune released his review, and he called it Yawn of Justice.
Oh, no.
Which is really clever. And, you know, I also appreciate, you know, having fun writing a bad review.
Sure.
You know, it's a lot of fun for critics. This movie is anything but dull. I get it because it's slow paced, but this movie will definitely not put you any kind of yawning position. I wound up giving it a B minus.
Not bad.
If you're a fan, I'm a huge Superman fan. I am also a Batman fan. I couldn't wait for this. You know, maybe I was a little more tolerant because I'm such a big fan of these two particular superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty solid action movie on its own once it gets going. Wonder Woman is, introduced.
A Wonder Woman's in it. That's cool.
Yeah, Israeli actress Gal Gadot.
Uh-huh.
And she's quite good in this movie. We get some glimpses of some of the other DC Comics heroes who will be part of the Justice League movies.
Aquaman
and their own movies.
Is in it, right? Aquaman?
A little bit later on. You get a little peek at some Aquaman.
Fonzie? Is Fonzie in it?
As well.
Oh, my God.
Fonzie is in it. For some reason, Carrot Top.
Carrot Top's in it?
Oh, then I'm not going.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'd go if Fonzie was there with a leather cape going, hey.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop, are they in it?
We've just described a Battle of the Network Stars back in the 1970s. The kind of dynamic that you would get if they were competing in something.
Well, we're supposed to see this.
Henry Cavill is, I think, really good as Superman. And everyone's been asking, how does Ben Affleck stand up as Batman? And I was perfectly satisfied with Ben Affleck as Batman. Overall, the only problem I had was the pacing of the movie. But I'm still saying to go see it.
All right.
It's still quite a spectacle.
Batman versus Superman.
That's supposed to be our little family get-together this tomorrow, actually. We're going to all go see it.
That
so
sounds like a good
time.
I'll
just come late. They can tell me what the setup was.
Yeah, miss the first 90 minutes. You're fine. What about My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2? Is that, I know you love the first one, Dean. Does the second one hold up as well as the first one?
I think it really does. It's this is the way that sequels for this kind of movie should be made. It's the perfect continuation of the story of the Greek girl who marries an American guy, family not so accepting, you know, the very dysfunctional Greek family that virtually everybody could relate to, you know, their dysfunctional, big, fat, whatever kind of family that it was. But all the original characters are back again. Nia Vardalos has written, I think, a really great follow-up story. Her daughter is now 17 and starting to date. She's going through with what a lot of people go through who have kids when they say, I've become my parents.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the relatable angle of all of this. The wedding that is part of this story also in the trailer, so I'm not giving away too much more, is that Nia Vardalos's parents in the movie, played by Lainey Kazan and Michael Constantine, they're going through some old records and they find out that they were never legally married.
Oh.
So now the parents have to get married, and there are a few little twists and turns in the story. It's really sweet. It's really funny. To me, once again, Andrea Martin from Second City TV as the irrepressible Aunt Avula steals this movie. She is so funny in this film. She's got some great lines, just like she did in the first movie. So if you want the complete alternative to Batman, just the really nice, funny, sweet, touching, family, romantic comedy. Couldn't recommend My Big Fat Greek Wedding enough. Big Fat Dean's List B+.
Oh, good.
On this one. And my review comes with a side order of soup, salad, and baklava. So.
What about that lemon chicken soup? I have just recently had that. That is the best Greek soup I've ever had in my life.
What? You've only just had the delicious avgo lemono soup? I have to have my mother make some for you.
I would like her recipe. I would like to try it. Do you use rice or orzo?
My mother uses Uncle Ben's rice.
Okay.
She says Uncle Ben's rice is the best to use. She has made it with orzo, but to me it's a little mushy.
Oh, it is.
The Uncle Ben's rice stands up a little better than Orzo.
Wendy, bring the soup to the movie. It'll be like a 3D experience.
I'll share it with my seatmate.
Yep.
Exactly. I'll get you some, and also the heating pad that my mother makes it on. Turns out,
that's right.
Yeah, on a heating pad.
Everything on a heating pad now. Right.
That's awesome.
Beautiful. Dean,
writing an all heating pad cookbook.
It'll be great for college students and geriatrics.
Yes, it will. Something for everybody.
Exactly.
Dean, thanks so much. We're looking forward to both Batman and Superman and My Big Fat Greek Wedding too. Have a great weekend.
All right, enjoy. By the way, on Sunday I'll have my one-on-one interviews with the whole cast of Batman versus Superman.
Oh, excellent.
As well.
Excellent. Yeah. We'll be listening.
We'll be listening.
Thanks, Dean.
I'm sorry, okay. Steve Bertrand is making little signs that you should hurry up, Dean, so I got a little distracted.
You are unbelievable. You know that?
She's no
unbelievable.
For him.
No soup for you.
No soup for
that's how it works.
I would take the Orzo, by the way.
Me too.
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, Dean.
All right, guys. See you later.
We'll
you
check
can't
in
do
with...
it in front of me and expect me not to
do
say
you have
anything.
No discretion at all?
Unless you say not for air or
hurry
hold up,
up
a sign.
You're already late. Let's go.
Oh, God.
We'll find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the second half of our show. We're thrilled that you're listening. Call us. Text us. 312-981-7200.
What are you doing on this rainy day? I'm watching people's umbrellas blow inside out.
There is a lot of that going on outside, isn't there?
And I've noticed a couple of the bubble umbrellas that were very big in the 70s. I had one with my silver coat that I had.
Oh, I bet that looked nice together, I bet.
It did?
Yeah.
But I thought those umbrellas were long gone. You know what I'm talking about? It looked
sure.
like a dome,
yeah.
like a clear dome.
Yeah.
Really a smart invention because you could get all up underneath it.
I am wearing, I don't know if you'll know what this is, but a Brock umbrella. Do you know what that is?
No.
That was, for a while, they tried to sell these. They were hats. It's called the Brock umbrella because somehow somebody talked Lou Brock into wearing one. And despite his illustrious baseball career, he looked like a doofus wearing this. But it was a hat that had an umbrella attached to it. The Brock umbrella.
How big was it? Because the point is, you know, I mean, too bad right. your head gets wet, but you want to keep your
right.
body or your purse dry.
Well, it was one of the only times in life that the bigger your head, the more the advantage you had. Because it
Cochran would be doing great. He says it himself. His head's not that big.
I don't think his head is.
I don't
that
either,
big.
But he says it all the time.
Right.
Just playing along.
Sure, that's all you can do.
A story came out that is pretty interesting to me, and I have a lot of questions, and perhaps you can answer them or Steve Bertrand can answer
mm-hmm.
them. But there is a boycott going on in Georgia. It's called the Religious Liberty Bill.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get it passed, and all I know is the Walt Disney Company and Marvel Studios oppose this religious liberty bill in Georgia pending before Governor Nathan Deal, saying that they will take their business elsewhere, quote, should any legislation allowing discriminatory practices be signed into state law.
Right.
So I need to define exactly what this is.
Here's what it is in a nutshell, and this is not verbatim. Oh, do you have it?
Yeah.
Then do that, because that will be better.
On Saturday, Human Rights Campaign President Chan Griffin urged studios and production companies to refuse to commit to any further productions in Georgia if Deal does not veto this legislation. Now, Georgia legislators passed the bill last week. It protects religious officials from having to perform same-sex marriage ceremonies and would allow faith-based organizations to deny services or employment
right.
to those who violate their, quote, sincerely held religious belief. Here is my question to you. Isn't it now legal in all states for people to get married regardless of their sexual orientation?
It is, yeah.
So how can they go against this?
Because they found a way to cleverly word it to say, if I provide you with a good or a service and I don't agree with your lifestyle, this now gives them an out to say, well, you know what? I can't help you. It's as discriminatory as it could possibly be.
What about doctors at hospitals if they don't believe they can't treat you because of that?
It's a way out.
Well, it shouldn't be a way out.
I know
out.
There shouldn't be.
So Disney's a pretty big company. Marvel Studios, they're saying they're going to take their business elsewhere. With generous tax incentives, Georgia has become a production hub, which I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. It's big business over there. And I don't know if it says it in the story, but the NFL has given them the same edict saying no future Super Bowls will be held in Atlanta, in Georgia, if this goes through. So, I mean, there's revenue everywhere that they'd be losing.
Disney and Marvel are inclusive companies, and although we have had great experiences filming in Georgia, we will plan to take our business elsewhere should any legislation allowing discriminatory practices be signed into state law, said a Disney spokesman yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
A company representing major studios has already spoken out against the legislation. On Monday, they called the legislation discriminatory, but expressed confidence that Nathan Deal, the governor, would not sign it. And he doesn't know what he's going to do yet. He released a statement earlier this month before the current version of the bill was passed, saying that he would not sign legislation he thought could be used to discriminate. So there's hope here.
There is hope. And I'll tell you who else is involved. Again, I don't have the version of your story. I just know what I've been hearing and reading. Ted Turner, who's one of the biggest businessmen in all of Georgia, you know, with his video empire, his cable empire, with, I think he's still one of the head guys of Coca-Cola, isn't he? Is Ted Turner still involved with Coca-Cola? Anyway, I know for sure.
He doesn't call me back, so I'm not sure.
Won't return your calls. I know for sure that all the Turner cable stations are based there in Georgia, and he said that they would also be looking to relocate, and that's huge because they built their way up all through Georgia.
And an update right now, AMC Networks, which makes The Walking Dead in Georgia, issued a statement opposing the legislation as well.
So they're getting pressure from a lot of people in the entertainment industry and other captains of industry, but we don't know for sure yet if it'll matter or not.
As a company, AMC Networks believes that discrimination of any kind is reprehensible, according to a company's spokesman. We applaud Governor Deal's leadership in resisting a previous version of this divisive legislation and urge him to reject the current version as well. Deal, a Republican, has not indicated whether he would sign or veto the bill.
The part you just read, was that a statement from AMC?
Yes.
It was from AMC. Okay, that's the parent company of the people who put out Walking Dead.
Second update, Viacom has also weighed in opposing the legislation. A spokesman said Viacom is proud to champion diversity and acceptance, which are core values of our company. We have enjoyed doing business in Georgia for many years, and we urge Governor Deal to continue to resist and reject the patently discriminatory laws being proposed. I don't even see how they can propose that.
Don't see it because it goes against what the Constitution has now been amended to say about gay marriage, you mean?
Right.
Well,
everybody whines about no one's paying attention to the Constitution. We got to get back to the Constitution, and yet they're going against the Constitution.
Right. How about that? Well, because I think on their side, they think they cleverly found a way to reword things to make it allowable. It's not necessarily true, but I think that that's their way of building in an escape clause. Saying, look, we've changed the wording on this a little bit. It's more a religious thing for us. I don't know.
Does God discriminate? Doesn't he love everybody?
He will not return my calls.
Oh, he calls me back.
Okay.
Say his
the
name
same
enough.
Way Ted Turner will not call you.
NFL said that Georgia would not get the Super Bowl if they pass it, and that's according to a texter.
That's a lot of money. I think their words were something along the line of, not just for this year, not just for, I mean, they're saying in the future forever, like we don't ever want to consider Georgia. And the way the Super Bowl works is they go out of their way to pick warm weather cities. If you look at the roster of who gets the Super Bowl, it's your warmer weather cities. So Atlanta would certainly fit in there. They'd be in the rotation to get the Super Bowl. We don't get, as you've noticed, we don't get the Super Bowl here.
I wondered
here.
Why we didn't.
That's one of the reasons.
According to 269, Indiana had an anti-gay religious bill, too. I had my TV antenna reworked to get Chicago, Grand Rapids, and Kalamazoo. I'm boycotting Indiana TV.
No.
What year is this? I seem to forget.
Still 2016. For a couple more months.
Well, this was news to me. So we have some comments and some calls. 312-981-7200. I'm sorry. Oh, Kevin's talking to me through the window.
Oh,
he's talking to Ben Cortez.
Oh, all right. All right.
We'll ask Ben Cortez what he thinks
about
this.
We'll get Ben Cortez's take on what's going on there in Georgia. That's coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. talking about a story that is a bit disturbing.
Yeah, it came over. Variety.com has it. Disney, Marvel, AMC, NFL.
Ted Turner.
And what was the new one? Viacom are threatening to boycott Georgia if this religious liberty bill is passed. And so here's my stupid question.
Yeah.
All right. For religious reasons, say you don't believe in gay marriage.
Yeah.
And you're a doctor,
yeah.
And a gay couple gets in a car accident, and they come to your emergency room, and they need emergency surgery. Religiously, maybe you don't agree with their lifestyle, but you can't refuse them service.
But this would get them off the hook. This would essentially say, because of my beliefs, I was not responsible to help these people. I didn't have to. They didn't get along with what I believe, so I'm off the hook.
But isn't that... Don't doctors take some kind of...
The oath? Sure.
Yeah, that yeah. You have to help people?
Right.
I mean, there are doctors that help drug dealers and gang members that mm-hmm. probably don't approve of what they do.
Right, right. I know.
I'm really confused. Hey, Scott, how's it going?
How are you guys? Love your show.
Thanks.
Hey, I have a question. At what point do we draw the line if I have my religious beliefs and I'm a minister and I say I don't want to marry a gay couple, what about my rights, my religious rights? At what point do we draw the line? And where's the diversity there to say, hey, you know what? We accept and respect what my beliefs would be. Where do we draw the line for that? If I don't believe it, why should I have to do it?
Well, doesn't it fall under the bracket of whatever your job description is? Wendy and I were just talking about this lady, Kim Davis, and I know we're going back a couple months, but she was the clerk who lived out in Kentucky,
yes.
Right? And her job was to grant marriage licenses, but then religiously she didn't agree with gay marriage, even though her job description was to grant those licenses.
Legal licenses,
right.
And that was legal.
Right. So doesn't it fit under the same...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
Didn't she have that job prior to the gay marriage?
She
so
did.
Her job description changed.
At well, then she can decide.
Well, no, her job description never did change. She had to issue marriage licenses in legal marriages. What was a legal marriage change, but they didn't change her job description.
Correct. Good point, Steve.
Okay, so the moral aspect of her job changed, at which point she took a stand and said, you know, so now there were two men that came in. What about them showing respect towards her wishes as well?
Because
I
it's
mean,
the law.
Where do we draw the line, though? What about the law? The Constitution gives me the right for freedom of speech and religion. Is that correct? That's the law, right?
Yeah, and everybody said if she chose not to do it, she could have stepped down, but she didn't. And she was appointed, so it's not like they could fire her. So she stood her ground and basically broke the law. Did she go to jail?
She did, yes.
Very temporarily.
Oh, that's right.
Who was with her when she came out? Was it Ted Cruz? There was a politician with her.
Yeah, they used Eye of the Tiger and Jim Peterik.
No,
it
was Mike Huckabee.
Mike Huckabee, right.
That's what it was.
Remember they used Eye of the Tiger and Jim Peterik says no way?
Yeah. But Scott, you bring up very valid points, and I think that's what they're trying to determine here, is what supersedes the other when it comes to whose right is which.
I think religious liberties are being pushed aside, and like I said, who's right, who's wrong, at what point do you draw the line? That's like they had, I believe it was a baker who did not want to bake a cake for a gay marriage.
Right.
Now, if I come in there, and I'm a member of the KKK, and I want you to make a cake that is just absurd and obscene, does that mean I have to do it because I have to respect your right to that? Or can I say, I will not do that. Morally, I don't want to do it. Do I have to do that?
That's a great question, Scott.
We don't know.
Absolutely.
You got us thinking, and that's what we're here to do, is talk and discuss our different views. No one has to get riled up or yell at one another. That's a great point.
Although that will happen eventually.
Just between you and me.
Right. Scott, thanks. We appreciate it.
I'll tell everybody in the kitchen about you guys. Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
That is interesting. And with a private business, you wonder, because I said, if you have a private business, I was talking to you off the air,
yeah.
And I don't want to serve someone because they're loud and rambunctious, isn't that my business to do that?
I think if you word it that way, like if let's say it came to court, right, Steve?
Right.
I think you could say I didn't serve them because they were disruptive to the rest of the restaurant, but you couldn't say I didn't serve them because they were a gay couple and I don't
agree with
that.
Because they were a black couple,
right?
Because they were a Muslim couple. One has to do with abusive treatment or bad treatment, right. Bad behavior.
Where we should all be able to get the same thing in life.
Right. My parents got married in 1962, and as you know, they were of different religions. My mom Catholic, my dad Jewish. They couldn't get anyone to marry them. No priest would marry them. Judges, justice of the peace, they didn't want any part of this because they didn't.
Why?
Because they didn't think. Back then, 1962, it was such a radical idea that people of conflicting religions would get together. They just said, no, this is going to end in disaster. I don't want any part of this. That was 1962.
Oh, my God. Pretty interesting. All right. Ed has to correct me because, you know what, Ed, I'm usually wrong.
Well,
so jump
Ed,
in.
I'm not necessarily correcting, but I think you're misrepresenting Christian belief when you suggest there's the possibility that a Christian doctor who believes the Bible's teachings on homosexuality make homosexuality wrong would arrive at the scene of a gay couple in a car accident and deny them the help that he could provide. That just wouldn't be the case. It's the objection that people have in this situation has much more to do with the examples that other people are giving, like wedding photographers, wedding cake makers or whatever. If you're a Christian and you don't believe that there should be gay marriage, then to be made to be a part of the process and essentially use your talents and skills towards something you don't believe in is the problem. The media tends to twist all of this stuff into, I'm not going to serve gay people in my restaurant, all this other stuff, because they think it's a slippery slope. I've never heard any Christian artist or anyone else represent this any other way than the fact that the whole idea is contrary to my beliefs, and therefore I cannot use my abilities in that area. It's not a hatred of homosexuality or anything else. It's a disagreement with it. I never heard anyone say they hate anybody.
I think it's more of an ignorance of it, though, too, of not understanding it, because do you agree with what Karen, or what's her name, Kim Davis, do you agree with what she did, standing up for her religious rights?
That woman? I think she had the right to stand up. Are you talking about that clerk? I think
yes.
She had the right to stand up for her religious rights, and they had the right to fire her. I think what I really think as a Christian is if she disagreed that strongly, and she was forced to do it, she should have quit. That's what I really think.
But Ed, if you remember,
what happens here that you guys kind of ignore too is the fact that this is kind of simple. I mean, like Bill, you're a stand-up comedian. Let's say you were a devout atheist and some Christian group wanted to hire you to entertain at their God is Great rally,
yeah,
your attitude wouldn't be like, well, I hire out as a comedian, I'm going to go do that, I have no choice, you know.
Yeah.
Depends how much they were going to pay him. I'm kidding.
Okay,
I'm kidding.
I can't judge Bill's ethics.
No, I'm kidding, Ed.
No, I know you are, but that may be the case. So, I mean, really, that's more what this stuff boils down to. And you know, people just kind of ignore that. It's not. I've never heard any Christian use the word hate towards anything. But I will say this, Wendy, when you said earlier, well, God doesn't discriminate against anybody, does he? God, I mean, a Christian would believe that God loves everyone equally. And a Christian would also believe that every single person sins on a daily basis and does things that are counter to what God does. What people ignore is like in that story where Jesus doesn't join in on stoning that woman and says, well, let the first one of you without sin cast the first stone, and everybody walks away sheepishly because they realize they're all sinners. Jesus doesn't say, that's great, go back now, lady, and have adultery. He says, go and sin no more. And that's the part people always ignore. Jesus loves everybody. God loves everybody, but they don't love sin. And even if you're guilty of sin, you're supposed to be trying to do better about it. And you probably don't relate to that, maybe, because I know you're going to think homosexuality isn't a sin.
Well, but, I think that's up for debate. I really do, Ed. Some people think it's a sin. Do you have anyone in your family that's gay or lesbian?
No, I don't. But I will tell you this. I mean, I strive really hard to understand viewpoints different than mine, and I think I'm pretty good at it. And I know gay people. I've worked with gay people. I have no hatred or dislike for them. I would if my own child, and believe me, this is something all Christian parents are going to consider. If my own child came to me and said that they were gay, I wouldn't hate them. I wouldn't shut them out. I would embrace them. I wouldn't endorse that. And I don't know anybody that would. But I also don't know anybody that would kick them out. And Bill, your example, your parents' wedding, I think it has more to do with not that people thought it was going to be a train wreck. It's that a pastor in a Christian church, I'll just speak for that,
mm-hmm.
believes that they're uniting two people, and the belief is that you have to unite people in Christ, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're just not sort of randomly for hire to everybody who wants to show up. And believe me, a Christian minister gets a lot of requests from people who don't even attend church that for some sure. you know, vague superstitious reason think, well, I'm getting married, I have to find a church, I don't have to find a minister.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people they marry are people from their congregations who are already in sync with what they believe, you know. Mm-hmm. My own daughter married a non-Christian, and I had to discuss it with my pastor, and they had to decide whether or not they were going to go ahead and do that. They did do it, and they counseled them and stuff, but the desire of all of us would be that he would be a Christian, you know.
But wouldn't it be and I don't know the full story of your daughter and her husband, but wouldn't it be horrible to deny people who found each other and fell in love with each other the bond to be together just by virtue of somebody's religion?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, I guess you could say that, but I would have to say as a Christian, I don't think there's anything more important in life than my beliefs. So, yeah, they didn't end up denying them, but they would encourage them, and it was designed, you know, not to alienate the person in the process. And if I could just say one more thing that sure. I think you guys leave out of this discussion. Every time one of these cases comes up, whether it's a gay couple that wants a cake or whatever it is, and say they go to somebody and they say, well, you know what, I'm a Christian, I have a problem with that, you know, I can't do it. It's never enough that the people leave and go find somebody who's totally in sync with their thinking. The attitude these days is like, if you dare raise an objection to anything, whether you're a guy who's going to have a TV show on HGTV or you're a baker or whatever it is, we're not content to just leave you with your beliefs and think you're a complete idiot.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to make an example of you, whether you're going to get sued, you're going to lose your job on the network, whatever it is, because the notion of free speech in this country is devolving into something like, there's, because of social media and everything else, it's total and immediate, like, you're dead. You said that, you're gone. Whatever it is, you know? People used to go, that sports team owner's an idiot. Now it's like, no, you can't have any sports teams, you can't do anything. I agree. If you don't believe in the guy, don't go to his games, don't spend the money or whatever. But it's like, everybody's got to be made an example. It's not bad. It's not good enough if you don't agree with me. I'm going to make you agree, or I'm going to bankrupt you in the process.
But don't you think that stems from just the ability in this day and age to go in and just want something as simple as a cake and be told, no, you can't have the cake because I don't agree with what you're doing behind closed doors? That just seems so extreme.
You have no business of what goes on behind their closed doors. You don't have to agree with it.
No, I agree with you. But you're ignoring the fact that it's not something the person is not aware of. If two guys or two women come into you as a wedding photographer and want you to photograph their wedding,
yeah,
I guess the point you guys don't relate to, and I would say I totally grasp, is that there are people who feel like they have a God-given ability or whatever it is, and if a Christian tries to, like, serve God with what they do, and to say, I'm going to use that in a way that I don't think is acceptable to God and I cannot in good conscience do it, is just not enough for society anymore. It's immediately like, you hate me, it's hate speech, it's whatever, and we're going to sue you. I guess if you don't get that, no offense, I don't mean this badly, then I guess you never will, but honestly, all I'm trying to tell you is that's at the core of this. It's
all right.
Not like, I don't want you to have any cakes or any photographers. It's just like, hey, you know what? I can't do it. And I'll just go back to the analogy of...
We got to run. I think you made your point, and you made it very eloquently, and it was honestly really nice having a discussion with you. We really appreciate
thank you guys.
It.
Thanks,
Ed. I appreciate you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right. We have to take a quick break. Back with news with Steve Bertrand next, 720 WGN. All right, a trending story right now. Bill Left, Wendy Snyder here. Disney, Marvel, AMC, NFL, all these companies, Viacom, are boycotting Georgia or saying they're going to boycott Georgia if this religious liberty bill is passed. And Governor Nathan Deal has the chance to veto this or not. He has not said what he's going to make. Someone said, if you have to think about vetoing it, I mean, just say no.
Right.
But here's what this religious bill is. It protects religious officials from having to perform same-sex marriage ceremonies and would allow faith-based organizations, businesses, to deny services or employment to those who violate their, quote, sincerely held religious belief.
So what business could then qualify as a faith-based business? Couldn't you find a way, couldn't you somehow make the argument, no matter what your business is, that you are faith-based? It's so vague, right?
It is vague. I mean, there are some companies that come right out and say they're faith-based. I know the president of the Hobby Lobby is very religious, and he doesn't want his stores open on Sunday because you keep holy the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
And so that would be the only company I'm thinking of right now, and I don't know what their take is on this, but...
Wasn't Chick-fil-A in that same category, too, when Dan Cathy was in charge of it? He has since died. He died a year ago. But I think they also... were a little bit dicey on who exactly they respected and didn't respect.
And who they would hire and who they didn't. So what makes it right for one company and not? It's 2016. I'm confused about all this. Joe, you wanted to chime in on this. How's it going? Hey, Joe?
I'm not hearing him.
Hi, Joe.
Hello?
That's better. Hi, Joe. What are your thoughts?
Hey, you guys crack me up every day. I listen.
Thanks, Joe.
You know, raised Catholic since I was little. Went to church like every good Catholic, and went to Catholic high school, grade school. Anyway, as I was telling the producer, I have a brother and sister. Both came out. Both have partners. And you know, growing up, you don't really know what you're gonna come across as you get older. But I couldn't be prouder of them. You know, they are good people in the community.
Sure.
And when I hear stuff like that, or in your last caller, you guys let him carry on way too long. Come on, Wendy, cut him off.
Well, no, I don't like to cut people off. My husband will give you a different story. But I kind of understand what he's saying, too. And I wanted to ask, I believe his name was Ed. You know, I asked if he had any gay people in his family or lesbians, and he said no. And if so, he said something that I wanted to question him on. He wouldn't shun them, but he wouldn't embrace it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. What does that mean then? You know what? I don't know. I guess until it happened, where my brother and sister both came out two different times, but you don't know how you're going to react to it. But the right thing to do is to accept it. And you know, they're over our house all the time. They're at every family function, and they're always welcome at the
house. That's how it should be.
That's the way it is. You know, I look, and, you know, I used to go to church all the time. I've gotten away from the church, and part of the reason, not because of this, but some of their, and I hope you guys don't get hate mail, but, you know, part of it is their narrow thinking on a lot of it. And, you know, things change, and circumstances change, beliefs change. You know, look where we're at right now with your buddy, you know, what's going on in the political world.
Yeah.
So I think what you have to be willing to change them. And if you don't, and if you want to be a little more narrow-minded, that's okay. But you can't hold against the way people feel, and regardless of if it's something that, you know, they're born with or not with or whatever. You have to be open to it. And you know, my kids have always, you know, they know, I have a 21-year-old and a 14-year-old. They accept the partners. And in fact, my sister and her partner got married last year. We had 110 people at a wedding. All of our families went. And it's because that's the thing to do, you know.
And Joe, you're a great family that's supportive of the choices, not the choices, but what's happening in your family. What I'm worried about is you hear young people who have not come out yet, and they're thinking, man, I'm not going to come out because my mom and dad are so against it. They'd be the last person I tell. And then the suicide rates are up there, and depression and anxiety. We are who we are.
Yeah. It is, and you know what? All that being said, my mom and dad, when they both, you know, like I said, they're at different times, my mom and dad were kind of like, okay, you know, like, what are we dealing with? And I think that's a common feeling, I believe. And then it was the same with me, like, okay, try to get your hands around this, because it's just, you know, when you first share it, you're like, But as you get to see how happy they are, and you get to spend time and interact with them, it's total, you know, it's no different than my son's girlfriend or my friend's wives. I mean, when you find somebody that makes you happy, I don't necessarily know I know it. It doesn't make a difference what your race is or if you're a male and male or female and female or male female. If it makes you happy and you're a good person, you know, I don't know that any doctrine should say that, like what's happening down there in Georgia, you know, this is what should be. You know, if that's the way it's going to be, then maybe these companies should pull out of that state and watch them really think about what they're doing. Because, you know, if we followed every doctrine according to rule from back, you know, 8 BC or, you know, 0 BC, things would be a lot different than they are now. We wouldn't have the freedoms that we have.
All right, so, Joe, some great points. I'm cutting you off now, okay?
Thank you.
Joe, thanks. Well said.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. We've got a bunch more people who want to weigh in on this. We're talking about the situation in Georgia with the boycotts, the potential boycotts from major, major companies. 312-981-7200 is our number. You can call us or text us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Blackhawks. Our goal is to get to the playoffs and be playing our best hockey once we do get there. So if this is a moment that in the end is going to make us, you know, be that team that competes deep into the playoffs, then this is what we got to do.
There's a job to do.
Bobby Hall, bullseye, baby.
It's time to do it.
The Blackhawks try again with Calgary Saturday night on 720 WGN.
I was having runny nose, cough, I would lose my voice. My allergies were insane. My work life was very, very difficult during this time.
Desiree suffered for 3 years with chronic sinus infections, so she tried over-the-counter medications.
I tried everything. Flonase, all the kinds of sprays that you would do, all kinds of allergy, Claritin, all that stuff. It wasn't helping.
Then she had a new, minimally invasive, in-office procedure called balloon sinuplasty. And after the procedure?
I felt really great. It was very exciting. That I recovered so quickly, it's completely restructured my health and my profession. Now I don't have to worry about getting colds, and I don't have allergies at all. I definitely have control over my life, which I couldn't be more thankful for.
Do you suffer from allergies, facial pain, and pressure? Find out if balloon sinuplasty makes sense for you. Call the Apex Sinus Center, 224-424-5155. 224-424-5155. That's 224-424-5155.
If you've got a 401k, an IRA, or a pension plan, this message is for you. These types of qualified plans have long been promoted as a smart way to save for retirement. They can provide you with a tax break when you contribute, which sounds pretty good, right? Well, here's the thing. A qualified plan may not be the best option for you, and you could face real tax consequences when you retire and actually need the money. There may be a better way for your individual situation. It's an IRS-approved way to fund retirement savings that's been around for years. Your money could grow tax-free. Have no taxes at retirement, no taxes when you die, and no taxes when passed on to your heirs. And you could receive guaranteed income for life. Intrigued? You should be. Call now for your no-cost financial analysis at 800-519-7108 and find out exactly what this retirement savings vehicle is. Call 800-519-7108 now to find out just how much guaranteed income for life you could receive. Call 800-519-7108. That's 800-519-7108. 800-519-7108.
If you have bags or puffiness under your eyes, can I tell you that's not the place that you want them? You want them, you know, at the airport when you're going on vacation. So try Genucel. Bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women. And unless you got yourself some Genucel, the plant stem cell treatment from Chamonix, you're still looking at them in the mirror every morning. I love my Genucel. I use it every morning. My husband uses it. A lot of people at this radio station use it, and I really noticed results. Give it a try. With Genucel's instant effects, you will see results in the first 12 hours or your money back. It's guaranteed. Call right now. You'll save big on Genucel's risk-free introductory offer. Call 800-577-8623, 800-577-8623. And right now, during the Chamonix Spring Clearance event, Chamonix will double your order absolutely free. Order Genucel today. Call 800-577-8623, 800-577-8623.
All right, back to your calls, back to your texts. We're talking about the situation in Georgia right now where a lot of major, major companies, including Disney and Viacom and Ted Turner and the NFL, say
Marvel,
they all say if you continue along the path of wanting to discriminate, we are not going to do business with you.
And the governor there, Nathan Deal, has an opportunity to veto this religious liberty bill that is on the table. And still no comment from him on which way he's going to go on this. Henry's on the line. Hi, Henry.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up, Henry?
So my biggest thing is, I actually have 2 points. My first one is this. You know, several callers ago, what ringed in my head was, so I think we've kind of lost track of separation of church and state.
Agreed.
I'd kind of like to ask, you know, several callers ago asked, well, where do we draw the line? Well, my question is, that line was drawn with separation of church and state, and I feel as though those two lines have been melded over the past, you know, 15 or 20 years, and that's really what's created the problem. You know, if gay people want to get married, and legally the law decides that that's okay, then they should be able to go to any state courthouse that they want to and get married. On the same side, religiously, if we're separating church and state, if a pastor believes that it's not right and he doesn't want to marry those two couples, then he should be able to not marry them, and the couple should be able to go find another religious leader who will. I feel like that's been lost over time, and then kind of wanted to bring that back.
Yeah, that's a valid point, extremely, yeah.
I mean, I was a Catholic, and I had to go through this pre-Cana training, and, you know, when it came to the point where we were interviewing with the priest, and he said, you know, do you guys live together? We looked at each other and didn't know what to say, because it's like, I'm not lying to a priest, but then if we say we live together, is he going to marry us? And we said, yeah, you know what? We do.
Sinners.
Yeah.
I'm always going to be a sinner,
sinners.
Bill.
And then my second point to the very cordial and eloquent Christian caller that called, and that was one of the best calls I've heard in a long time, and I think you guys let it go just the right amount of time.
Oh, thank you.
But my point to him is this. He said, you know, people today can't just let things go when it doesn't go their way. To an extent, I agree with that. I feel, you know, so many people today default to lawsuits and things of that nature. But on the same hand, in today's society, if I go to a restaurant and the food is terrible and the waitress is terrible, I am going to use social media to let everyone know of my terrible experience.
Of course.
Wait, well, why don't you take it to the manager and have him try and solve the problem or make it right for you?
I do. I generally do first. But, you know, if the manager takes care of it, I also voice that opinion. Whether you're a private business or a public business, and even though, you know, public business is kind of a idiot, you know, doesn't make sense. But anyways, if you're a private business and you make cakes for a living, you have to expect that social media goes both ways. And if you tell someone, if you give someone a great cake and you tell them, tell all your friends about me, you have to expect that on the flip side of that coin, if you deny someone service for any reason, they are going to spread that word throughout their community, whatever community that is, and you as a business have to be prepared to stand by those decisions publicly and take what comes your way because you decided to turn that business away. It goes both sides. Essentially, what I'm getting at is, with bold statements, everybody wants their cake and to eat it too, and we as a society need to learn that we have to take responsibility for our actions, and so many people don't want to do that today.
All right. Well, Henry, there's about five texters that agree with you, separation of church and state.
And, I agree 100%.
And Bill does, and I do.
That line is gone.
And then someone else has texted in, churches are exempt. These so-called religious bills cover businesses, and that's where it gets murky to me.
But the wording is faith-based businesses, and that is such a vague term. Anybody could claim that they're faith-based.
You're right. Henry, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
You know, the problem, and I know I'm rehashing slightly old news here, but we brought her up, Kim Davis, was she was saying that these were against her principles. Back when she was denying marriage licenses in Kentucky, she was saying it was against her principles and it was ruining the sanctity of marriage. And then they found out, we found out, everybody found out, that she was on her fourth marriage and had marital affairs while she was married and stuff like that. So you go, okay, so here's a lady who's so into the sanctity of marriage that she's been married four times and it doesn't bother her to mess around on her current husband. Her current husband number four, she had cheated on her third husband and got to the fourth one. And you go, so how are you the arbitrator of what is and isn't a good marriage?
Fourth time's a charm, Bill.
I guess so. I guess it is.
That is a valid point. It was very hypocritical, which is, I guess, what bothers me about all this stuff.
Right.
You know,
right.
You can't have your cake and eat it too. And if you're gay, you should be able to have your cake.
Everyone should have cake.
Let them eat cake.
Right.
We're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. We've got Steve Bertrand's news coming up and a newswoman from WGN TV, whom we've watched and we've been fans of, had kind of a mean email sent her way.
She did.
So we're going to talk to her next after the news. It's Bill and Wendy at 720 WGN. All right, pay attention, everybody, because I have some big news here. We have Marcella Raymond on the line with us, one of my favorite WGN
Isn't
TV
she
news
great?
Reporters.
Marcella
anchors.
Raymond, you are great. We're fans.
Oh my gosh, I'm feeling the love.
We love you. You're great at what you do.
How long have you been there? Because you've covered some pretty huge things.
Oh, it's been almost, it'll be 18 years.
Look at that.
Halloween.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. Always been a fan of yours, and you do a great job.
Wendy.
Can I read this letter that you got, this email?
Sure.
Or do you want to read it?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Let Wendy read it, because she wrote it, Marcella. Let her read it.
I thought it was maybe someone who knew me.
Yep, it's Wendy.
See, all right, before I read this, though, Marcella posted this on her Facebook page, and everybody shared it and reposted it because it just is shocking. But when I'm reading this, I can't decide if it's from a man or a woman. Did they sign their name, first of all? I doubt it.
Yeah. No name, no address, nothing.
Hmm. Okay.
And you know what? I think I was trying to figure that out, too, but I just think it's a woman. I don't know why.
Do you think it's a woman?
I do, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's funny because
I
was reading it to my husband, and he goes, God, that guy's a jerk. And I said, what makes you think it's a guy?
Interesting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Women
right.
are mean to each other.
I guess.
Right.
They are. They really are.
All right. Well, listen to this, because I was shocked, and we had to get you on to talk about this. It says Marcella. And the good news is they spelled your name right, because that's always important.
It's not like the chicken.
You are an excellent reporter. Content is no problem. You have good broadcast skills and are a good communicator.
You know what? I just changed my mind, Marcella. This is from a woman, because a guy wouldn't have complimented you. He would have gone right for the jugular.
Probably
but a woman
top,
buttered
right.
you up a little bit and said, here's some good stuff, now the bad stuff.
Right. There
All right.
you go.
So that's the opening statement. Very nice, complimentary, sucking you in only to stick the knife in.
Sure.
Then it continues. However, please allow me to point out, in parentheses, with great respect, that you have gained too much weight.
Ugh.
Being heavier than you probably want to be does present a message to the viewer. This person is not able to discipline herself in a visual medium.
Can you believe that?
No. Wow. It interferes with your real message when reporting. And now she goes on. And you can stop me if you're sick of hearing this. I just am shocked.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I think it's interesting for people to hear it again. Go ahead.
Okay. So then she goes on, or he, the viewer.
Right.
Anonymous.
The big fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know as well as anyone that the TV news game is a young person's business. Being overweight makes people look older than they actually are. And an overweight body takes its toll on the actual aging process, especially facially. At the very least, television is a visual medium, and its performers, in parentheses, and each reporter is to a degree a performer, should put forward their best visual presence. Last paragraph. I hope you can discern from this unusual letter a clear sense of concern. That's it. Only concern. It's hard enough to keep jobs in TV. Why make it more difficult on yourself?
Sure.
At some point, management will view your being significantly out of shape as a reflection of your not caring or, quote, not keeping your house in order.
Right.
Oh, my
God. Can you believe
that?
Yep.
I can't believe
this. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, too. It's like, this is just such a passive-aggressive letter, and you're concerned about my job? Is that what you're concerned about?
Right.
You know, I don't even know you. You have no idea what's going on in my life. You don't know, do I have a medical condition that made me gain weight? Have I been really depressed? Did I lose somebody, you know, recently? Am I just tired of working out? Like, you have no idea what is going on in my life. And for you to take the time to sit down and write a letter under the guise of being concerned about me is
a bunch of crap.
Yeah, it really is. And you know what? If I look at myself every day. You know, I'm 50 years old. I watch myself on TV after I've done, I tape my stuff. I still tape them because I want to see how the story was put together. I want to see how everything looked. And you know, you're just as critical of yourself as you were probably when you were in your 20s in terms of what you see on TV, but part of you just doesn't care anymore because this is part of the aging process, and it's hard to see that while you're on TV because, yes, you know, things are sagging. You know, if the lighting's not perfect, yeah, you're not going to look as good as you did when you were 30, you know, and so you've gained some pounds. Okay, so I look at it as, well, what makes me look better? And so that's why I watch it, like, oh, I shouldn't wear that, or I shouldn't wear that.
Right.
So I'm hard enough on myself.
You're probably worse on yourself than anyone's ever been.
The
we
second,
all are.
Second worse on yourself.
Right. There's, yeah, this, you're this, like, oh, it's terrible. But, you know, I don't, I mean, I'm comfortable enough with who I am that, and I know I would like to lose some weight, and I will eventually, but it's for me. It's not right. for anybody else.
Exactly. And what I, and Bill, you can attest to this. You know, I've gone up and down in my weight, and, you know, I, every day when I mention some kind of food, somebody texts and says, you look like you eat right. the quesadilla from Taco Bell.
It's unbelievable.
But
yeah.
that's where people go with women. You know, like if somebody goes, oh, you're a ditz, and I get those on a regular basis too. I know I'm not, so that doesn't offend me. But when somebody goes right, right for the weight, it's like, boom, you got me.
Right. See, and I look at it, I'm kind of the opposite now. I used to be, you know, when I was probably, Tony, I was probably 40 pounds lighter, and I would get things from agents when I was, you know, this is years, 20 years ago, and it would be, she needs to lose some weight.
Wow.
Oh,
what
my
would
they
God.
Say
about, what would they say about me today?
Wow.
You know?
So, Marcella, when
like,
you read
if
this.
If I didn't have a job for 17 years, they would never, no one would ever hire me.
Of course.
It's ridiculous.
So, when you read this the other day, when you first got this letter and you read it, what was the decision process to go public with it?
Well, I showed it to all my friends yeah. first because I came in and the letter was unsigned and it said personal. And I don't know why I opened it because a lot of times I just throw those in the garbage.
Yeah.
And I opened it and I read the first lines. And I was like, okay, well, there's something coming. And then, you know, the weight thing came and I walked into the newsroom and I saw Tanya Francisco, who's does our morning news. And I gave it to her and she's like, she read it up until it just said something about weight. She's like, girl, don't even look at this. This is ridiculous. Don't even look at it. So I kept showing like all my friends. I'm like, can you believe I got this letter? Can you believe I got this letter? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a picture of it and I'm going to post it because I think that while, you know, the outpouring of support was crazy. And I didn't need that. I didn't need for people to say, oh, Marcella, you're not fat or no, you look great or anything like that. But I wanted people to see how rude people can be.
Yep. Yeah. I can't believe and it.
I was so like what made me really happy was that there were so many people who also saw this the same way and would never do anything like that to anybody else. So that was the really positive thing that came out of it. And we're talking about it. And I think, you know, we as a society need to just relax, you know? So what? I'm heavier than I used to be. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
You're not,
you know,
there. It's not a beauty pageant
story to tell.
Right.
Right.
And that's what it is. You know, you're giving women a voice. And I loved that you posted it on your Facebook page and made it public. Because you know what? Really, the way to get to a woman is to say you're fat. Even if you're not
right.
fat, that will hurt you more than anything as a woman. Because like I said before,
right.
you're smart. You do a great job. You're eloquent. But they go right for the jugular when
right
someone
for
wants.
The fat, yeah.
yeah.
Marcella.
Yeah. And you know what? And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say a couple of years ago, and you may remember this, you may not, in La Crosse, Wisconsin, there was a news anchor, Jennifer Livingston.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So you know uh-huh. that story, almost identical yeah. to what you just experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another
yeah.
fan who sent a letter saying, you know, you're supposed to be an example for the community's young people, but you're not.
Right.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
What kind of example? Of starving yourself? Of being obsessed with how you look? Of letting it interfere with doing your job? Of,
right.
of not, you know, of not, of feeling constantly under that pressure to be a certain size or a certain look or stuff like that. I mean, that's what I love about WGN is that we have so many different people who look so differently. And they're all different. They're all different shapes and sizes. And
you mean Paul Conrad, don't you? Are you talking about Paul Conrad?
Exactly. Conrad and Skilling.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
And no one has ever said to me, Marcella, you need to lose a few pounds. Or, you know, I'm not going to wear go around. The big thing now with women in news is to wear sleeveless everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't really like my arms right now, so I'm not wearing anything sleeveless.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that look either. I got to be honest with you.
No, I'm just like, ugh. You know, I can't. Luckily, I've been here long enough that I feel, you know, confident in my job. It's not like I'm going to lose my job because I've gained a few pounds.
Sure, sure.
A lot of people go up and down on their weight. And you know what? This reminds me of when, was it Ashley Graham, who is the size 16 model?
From Sports Illustrated?
Yes.
Yeah. And Cheryl Teagues comes out and says, it's not healthy to be overweight. You know what? I know some skinny people who aren't very healthy.
No, I know.
And someone.
Well, they have that, you know, they've had that in their head for so long. That's not real. You know, that's just, it's not real. These supermodels. I mean, I don't think reporters should be looked at in the same sort of,
category.
You know, kind of like category, exactly. I mean, we should not be in that same category. Our main job is not to wear a swimsuit or to look like a beauty queen. Our main job is to deliver the news in the best way we can so that people will watch.
Sure.
And they understand and they're getting informed. And it's not about being the prettiest girl on TV.
Well, you are. And it's Marcella Raymond that we're talking to right now. Can I tell you, someone said that this sounds like someone who is in the broadcasting world and is jealous that they don't have a job.
You know, they seem to know the business a little bit. There's a couple times, right? So they allude to some things, yeah.
And I was wondering if it was maybe a consultant, you know, or something like that. I mean, they signed it, didn't sign it, but said they weren't leaving their name because they were in the advertising business and they're not supposed to have contact with talent or something. And I'm thinking,
blah, blah,
what?
Blah.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I have no idea. But it was just something I felt like I was like really adamant about sharing with people because I wanted them to also have that conversation of, you know, everyone's not a size two.
And they're not going to be.
And they're not going to be. And the majority of people in this country, I mean, you know, I'm a size 10. There you go. Am I going to be a 6? Probably not again. You know what I mean? Because it's just, it's too much work. It's not that important to me anymore. You know, there are other things that I wish to spend my time thinking about or doing than stressing over, you know, losing 20 pounds. It's something I want to do for myself, but I'm not going to make it, you know, all encompassing and my whole life just go by the wayside because of it. It's crazy.
Right.
No, I don't think I'll ever get into my wedding dress again, but that's okay because I'm already married.
You'll get another wedding dress for the next wedding. It'll be better.
I'm not getting another wedding. Someone wants to know why you're even giving credence to a letter like this. This person is obviously very unhappy and critical. This letter belongs in the trash can. But I admire you for making this public because people are so rude to one another.
Yeah.
And social media has created this.
It has. It really has. And this whole anonymity thing. And it wasn't even... You know, it was a letter, like someone typed out a letter and put a stamp on it and sent it to me, you know, so, and that was cowardly too, because, you know, if you email it or do something else, then I can find out who you are.
Right.
And I can respond to you. I mean, I get more upset. I was just pissed off at that person. I was just mad at that person. You know, I just thought you shouldn't be allowed to get away with this. And I kind of just wanted to make a point in that respect. But I care more about when people criticize my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that bothers me a lot more than this did.
Makes sense.
But this does. Like Wendy said, go to the jugular. You know, it's just like, you're not good enough.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Well, darn it, you are.
You're
do a
very
great
good.
Job.
And can I just, a quick compliment your way. I saw this one morning on the WGN TV Morning News. I don't know if they do it with regularity, but they should. Jeff Hoover and Mike Toomey put together a special, an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond, but it was Everybody Loves Marcella Raymond.
I thought that
was great.
That was awesome. They are so creative. They are so creative. And I think, I'm not in town right now, but I think that tomorrow, if I'm right, they're doing something on the morning news about all the hate texts and hate emails and letters and all that stuff that we all get at Channel 9. So, and when you're an anchor, you get tons more. Just like if you guys are on the air for several hours, people, they hone in more on all that little stuff. And so it's, you know, I don't get that as much as everybody else does.
We get a lot of it, but it's from management. They sign it and it says their name, so we know who's doing it.
I just hope they're not the ones calling me a ditz.
No, they're not. It's not them.
Right. I know. Absolutely not.
All right. right. Well, 18 years and going strong. And
thanks, guys.
What are you working on? What's your next story coming up?
I don't know. I mean, I'm off for 10 days.
Good for you.
Good.
I am on spring break, so I'm not doing anything right now. And I never know until I walk in the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a crazy business, as you know.
Well, we will keep watching you, and we support you,
well,
Marcella
thank you so
Raymond.
Much.
Thanks, Marcella.
I really appreciate you having
All right,
me
have
on.
A good
Thanks.
Vacation. Take care.
Thanks so much. Bye.
All right.
Everyone does love Marcella Raymond.
I know. It fits nicely, doesn't
Just
it?
Just rude people. Somebody thought that?
That
letter actually might be from Trump. It seems like Donald Trump has that way.
Could be.
He's done picking on Megyn Kelly,
right.
So now go to Marcella.
Let's move on. All right. Quick break, and then more show, Bill and Wendy WGN.
All right, we still have a little bit of show left in us, and then at 3 o'clock, Rokan will be here with Anna DeVlantes.
Don't you give Marcella Raymond credit for coming forward with this? Because I think a lot of people would have gotten this horribly insensitive letter and just let it bother them for a day or two, but she didn't. She decided, let's go public and let people know, be nice to each other.
Yeah, but somebody had commented, like, why are you talking about this? This, you know, are you just looking to get compliments? But she wasn't looking to get compliments.
So.
Bottom line is, you know what? Feel good and be happy. And if that's how you are, because really the whole Cheryl Teagues about Ashley Graham saying, well, she's just not healthy.
Yeah.
That was a cop out. That was saying Cheryl Teagues had to give up eating Snickers bars and she had to give up eating basically to remain as thin as she was to get on all those covers. And it's not fair that someone who can enjoy, you know, a case of Lupa every once in a while can be on the cover.
Yeah.
I think that's what was bothering her.
That makes sense.
I had to work so hard for it.
Right.
Like these millennials who don't work so hard, which I bring this up because I don't know if you were listening to the Rokan show yesterday from 4:30 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
They did the millennial half hour.
I didn't get to hear it. What went on there?
It was funny.
Yeah.
Kevin Richter and Violetta Padromedic were hosting. Did you hear it, Kevin?
Yeah, but it wasn't Kevin Richter that was hosting.
I'm sorry. You're Kevin Richter.
Oh, that Kevin Richter on the Rose show is funny.
Yeah, he's great, isn't he?
You know, people always confuse you, and I just did
it. I know.
Kevin Powell.
Mm-hmm.
Is Kevin
not the same?
No, you're not. Is Kevin on Steve Cochran's show anymore ever?
Yeah, he was there today. Yeah.
He's double dipping.
He's still, yeah. Well, every show, you know the law, every show must have a Kevin. And if we're ever a Kevin short, one of the Kevins has to do double duty. So
doesn't seem right. Kevin, don't go on anybody else's show.
Seems like they're always asking Kevin Powell to do double duty.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Well, it was pretty funny. Roe did traffic that Violetta wrote for him, and
mm-hmm.
Anna did sports that Kevin Powell wrote for him, and it was...
And then they hosted? Did the Yeah, they did?
It was very amusing. It was an experiment that I think went really well, and I'd like to hear it for the whole show today.
Oh,
maybe.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Maybe get your wish. A break, some news, more show, Bill and Wendy WGN. Steve, thanks very much. I don't know.
Are you living La Vida Loca?
I'm currently living La Vida Loca, yes.
Good for you.
Inside, upside, outside, in. I don't remember what the lyrics are, but whatever it
Close
is,
enough.
I'm living that lifestyle. It's
Uppy
the La Vida Loca. I'm trying. I'm trying to get some of that in, too.
I'm blushing.
I am
absolutely
please.
Blushing,
There's
and
no
it takes a
to.
Lot to make me blush.
Wendy, that is the lifestyle that is La Vida Loca. It means the crazy life in Spanish, you know. I don't know how to do this now after talking to Marcella Raymond. And for those of you who missed the last half hour, Marcella Raymond, as you know, is a fine journalist over at Channel 9, our sister station. And she received a letter from somebody criticizing her looks and saying, you know, you got to do something with yourself. You put on some weight. And it was just mean, very, very mean. And then there's a story that I wanted to do all day today. And I don't know how we do it now because it'll make me seem hypocritical anyway. Can I tell you what it is?
Yeah.
All right. A picture surfaced yesterday of one of the guys that I consider to be the funniest people ever, David Letterman.
Yes, I saw.
Former host of The Late Show.
Wow.
You saw it then, right, Steve?
Yeah.
All right. So what you have here is you have Dave, and he's 10 months into his retirement. And if you weren't told in the headline of this photograph that it was David Letterman, you would think, here's a picture of an old prospector. I wonder what he's doing. I wonder why there's a picture of an old prospector. Dave has no more hair up top, but a lot of hair on his chin. He's got a huge beard going. He may have gained a pound or two. I don't know. In the picture, it appears that he did.
Why don't you write him an anonymous letter and tell him this?
I'm going to write him an anonymous letter and say, Dave, what up?
I'm going to ask a question, and I'm not, I don't care. I looked at it and I said, oh, good for him, whatever. But it did take me a while to realize who it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was Grandpa Walton at first.
Like Will Gear?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he had hair before. Did he just?
Yeah, 10 months ago.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Well, so is it a hair piece? I don't know.
He used to kid about that on the show quite often, but I don't think it was. I think it was his hair, because he pointed out, why would anyone buy a hairpiece with a bald spot?
I do remember that.
That was like a running joke with him. We saw him regularly just 10 months ago, and I would say he looks 10 years older. wouldn't you say?
He does.
About 10 years older. And he loves it.
Yeah, I was just thinking of something Marcella said earlier about how, you know, she's not going to get to wherever that is because it's just too much work.
Right.
Apparently, Dave's been working pretty hard for a long time.
But you know how, like, they always say this about whoever the president is, how it ages you, how quickly you age when you're the president. You would think in retirement that would slow the aging process down, not accelerate it. But he looks a lot older in just 10 short months.
You know what? Take away the makeup. Take away... This is just him being him.
He looked like he could have been one of those. What are the guys, the reality TV show, the guys from the South?
Oh, the Duck Dynasty guys?
Duck Dynasty. He looked like a Duck Dynasty guy.
He fits in more with the Duck Dynasty guys.
I mean, it's not makeup. It's
the beard. His beard
is like a foot long.
Yeah.
ZZ Top called. He's too old. I don't like the beard, but that's his decision to do. But take the beard off, and he doesn't look so... I guess he looks older, but
yes.
So what?
Well, he even said he likes being recognized now as a crazy old guy, that when people see him now, they just go, who's the crazy old guy? And he kind of relishes that. But I know this is a strange comparison, but I'll make it anyway. He was a huge, huge fan of Johnny Carson's, as you and I were as well.
Yes.
And Johnny did a very similar thing when he retired. He let his hair grow long, and I mean, Johnny Carson's hair was already white when he retired. David's wasn't, but when you saw Johnny Carson, he also had a little more of a weight gain. Johnny Carson did, a guy who was thin pretty much his whole career. He was always really thin. The early days, he was as thin as you could be. He was really thin, but then in retirement,
he stopped doing the fake golf swing so that, you know, he gained some weight.
Maybe that's it.
But isn't that what you, I mean, in retirement, shouldn't you enjoy yourself? I'm not saying yourself go, but you know what?
Oh, yeah.
You're on people's, coming into their living rooms every night, and the pressure's on to look presentable.
Absolutely.
And so what? And Mike Myers also had a transformation, too. He looks like Steve Martin.
That was just a couple of short weeks ago. Mike Myers' hair is now completely white also.
Yeah, but wait, there's a huge difference because it's still combed and cut.
Right.
You guys, David Letterman is jogging with headphones on. I mean, come on.
In the photograph that got widely circulated, you see him jogging. He's wearing a Ball State. That's the college he attended. And then he's wearing headphones. But there's other pictures of him shopping with his wife where he still looks different.
Like a prospector?
Yes.
Oh,
There's pictures of him panning for gold.
And can I just say what bothers me more than anything?
What?
Don't put sunglasses on your forehead.
I don't even notice that,
right
does he?
Right here.
In that picture, right.
When people do that.
Right.
Either put them on top of your head or put them in your pocket. But
the forehead is not the place for sunglasses.
Come on.
So I'm looking at pictures online, and there are lots of pictures of him with this beard.
Right.
And more hair.
Right.
He shaved his head.
So I didn't realize that he'd had the beard that long.
Well, the beard pictures have been on for a couple of weeks because he went and spoke somewhere. I can't remember where he spoke. At a college, I want to say, a couple months ago. And everybody was shocked at the big white beard then. But... you know, in a few months since then, no more hair and a couple of pounds of weight gain.
He doesn't look like he gained weight, in my opinion. And it looks like he shaved his head.
It's possible. It's very possible.
And he looks good other than the beard.
Now, very early David Letterman, like when he first went out to Los Angeles and started doing stand-up, he had a huge red beard back then. I don't know if you've ever seen those pictures.
But it wasn't hanging down, was it? Wasn't it just on his face? Like
no,
more streamlined?
No, it was hanging down. He looked very woodsy back then. Very woodsy. Like a Jeremiah Johnson kind of look.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. And of course, red, you know, now it's gray. It's white. My hair, it would be, you know, I'd look like Lily Munster.
You would?
You color your hair?
Yeah.
Sometimes what? During the show, Steve.
Really?
Yep.
I need it colored.
Sometimes. Yep. All right. A quick break. We have more show for you.
I'm not keeping my house in order.
You're not?
That's the last line of the letter to Marcella Raymond.
Oh, right.
Right. You know, it's a reflection. You're not looking good as not caring or not, quote, keeping your house in order. Do you know how messy my house is?
Well, that's why I was reluctant to do this story. Now, we just talked to Marcella Raymond, and we heard how horrible it is when people are criticizing your looks. All I'm saying here is this was a guy we saw every night for years and years and years and years, and he looked pretty consistent. And then after not seeing him for just 10 months, I would not have recognized him if it didn't say his name in the headline. I would not known. It would take me a while. It says, this is
which
a terrible headline.
Which picture are you looking at? Is this the one of him jogging?
CNN's headline is, ready? This is horrible. Bald Santa, David Letterman's striking retirement look. Would you like to be him? And you're on the internet today and you go, oh, here's a story about me. Bald Santa, David Letterman's striking retirement look.
All right. The picture everyone is seeing that's been all over Facebook is the of him jogging with the headphones on.
Right.
But there's a picture that I found with
shopping.
Yeah. He's holding strawberries, something like an album cover with strawberries on it. And he's got the sunglasses on the forehead. Don't do that.
Right.
But he does not look out of shape to me. He looks more trim to me.
Does he? Yeah.
And he just shaved his head. That jogging picture is really the most unflattering picture, and that's why they used it.
Yeah, maybe.
The media none of us is ruining everything.
We don't look at our best when jogging.
No.
Right? All right. A break and
damn
then more
media.
Stupid media.
Our house is not in order.
I guess not. Spill and Wendy, WGN.
People helping people out. You got to do that.
Kevin, our producer Kevin, alerted me to something that I was not aware of. Our city has had an honor bestowed upon them. Bestowed upon us, I guess. We are, as it turns out, Chicago has been voted the best city for dating in the United States.
What if you're married? Who cares?
They're not separating. They're saying date away. There's plenty of people out there for you.
I wonder why.
Chicago, it says here, was named the best city for dating in the U.S. this week by the Great Love Debate. Did you fill out your forms for the Great Love Debate when those came to your house in the mail? Oh, my questionnaire from the Great Love Debate is here. It's a nationally touring event that unites single men and women in the audience with a panel of relationship experts, and then they discuss dating. The Midwest overall is far more optimistic and hopeful and enthusiastic about all things love, dating, relationships. This according to Brian Howie. He's the producer of the Great Love Debate and the author of How to Find Love in 60 Seconds. It's been a long time for me on the dating scene here, so I don't know if things have gotten better or remain the same. But I would have said, now I'm remembering back to when I was very, very young in my 20s, but this was a good city for dating. You could find people. There were people around to date, things to do once you found them.
I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall on one of your dates.
Oh, man. It was crazy back then.
I can't imagine.
Wendy, you know what? No rules.
I don't believe that.
No rules. We were like the Outback Steakhouse. No rules, just right.
You might want to rethink that. I don't know.
I'll tell you what the other cities are. I don't know what these cities have in common. I have no idea why these
would
be.
Single people?
Well, I guess single people would be obvious, I hope, yeah. Chicago is named number one. Number two, Lexington, Kentucky, second best city for dating. Then you have Charlotte, North Carolina. Then Washington, D.C., which surprises me.
Well, is this where the high concentration of single people are?
They took that mainly into account. But then you'd also want things to see and do once you have found your date, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that figure in?
Who sees and does anything? You just see stars in your eyes on your first couple
true?
Of dates, and then you get busy.
You should write a book.
That would be a business card. It's so
pamphlet.
Short.
That would be a small pamphlet.
It's too short for a pamphlet.
A fortune cookie. You should write a fortune cookie about it.
Have stars in your eyes and then get busy.
That's it. And then the fifth one is Denver, Colorado.
That's because they're all stoned.
Not all, but a lot of them are, if I can overgeneralize. Now, you know who's quoted in this is Bella Gandhi, who is a frequent contributor to the Steve Cochran show. We've met Bella many times.
Oh, yeah.
Right? She's the founder of Smart Dating Academy. She says, Bella Gandhi says, that taking advantage of a thriving dating scene or dating anywhere must be more than just jumping in if a single man and women want to see results. In order to do anything big in life, the thing we do very naturally is to make a plan. She says she's familiar with the show, The Great Love Debates panelists. And when it comes to dating, don't just wait for what's meant to be. Have confidence and a plan for your dating like you would for anything else. That's solid advice. I don't think as solid as the advice you said.
When you first meet someone, you're not looking at the sights because you have stars in your eyes and for the first few dates, and then you get busy.
Then you get busy. How long do you want to wait before getting busy? Do you have a timetable?
No, you got to ride the wave.
Do you ever say, the mood? You know, we've been here for nearly 90 minutes. When are we going to get busy? Do you say that ever?
So first you ride the wave.
Ride the wave first.
I don't know.
Then you get busy.
Then you get busy.
Thank God you're all taken.
Don't do it the other way around, Kevin.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to break
don't
the...
Don't get busy first and then ride the wave.
No, you got to see how things are going. Your mileage may vary. It may be, you know, definitely not the first date.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know what we're talking about right now.
How about that? You confused Kevin.
All right. My all plan right. has been mastered.
It worked. All right. We'll take a quick break and then we'll find out what Rowan Ave planned for you next. I'm getting busy right now.
Your tongue isn't.
No, it's not. I don't think.